I honestly think I would get stuck, like, right at the top. I don't even think I'd go in. Either that, I know what would happen. It would be humiliating.
Shh! Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We'll routine to border scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir's the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth, I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going.
I'm on my way from misery to happiness to be.
What you guys wanted to see. I set up my nice fancy camera, and a lot of you guys said reacting to things, so that's what we're gonna do. Today we're looking at people doing not so smart things. Hey UPS, your driver left this package under our doorknob like this and trapped us in our apartment. Had to call maintenance to get out. I wonder if the UPS guy had like an issue with these people. He was like, you know what? Sure, you can have your package if you can get it. She's trying to fill her tires with a fire extinguisher. Oh my god. I'm not gonna lie to you. I guess I wouldn't do this, because like, this just doesn't make any sense. Like, isn't this making a huge mess? I can see that there's like a mess on the ground, because like, aren't fire extinguishers like extremely hard to clean up? Aren't they like really messy when you like... Girlfriend didn't want to lose the keys to her lock. I mean, how's she gonna unlock the lock now? I don't really see how that... Not practical. Just one more push. You're almost there. You're so close. So close. She's getting a closer look at the solar eclipse. Are you sure? Because to me it looks like she's holding a kitten or something. I think this is a phony photo. I think they made up some caption. It looks like she's holding like a puppy or a kitten. Like she's like, oh, so cute, you know? It doesn't look like she's trying to like see the solar eclipse. But then again, my vision is bad. I tried to clean my keyboard keys by soaking them in water. I mean, this is a really, really, really extra way to clean these keys, but like, there's no technology in the actual keys, right? Or now am I stupid? Am I gonna end up on this list? I think I'll put my TV on this decorative, non-structural mantle. Oh, it hurts. This brings me so much pain. This is the exact reason why I don't even want to, like, mount my TV on the wall. Like, I cannot trust gravity. I can't trust it. Gravity has not been good to me, okay? So, no, none of that. This family business in New Zealand used their surname. Butt drilling. I didn't want to laugh. But I'm a 12-year-old, okay? So these are some design flaws that are just, why? You know, just why? Young. Move on, follow your heart. More impact than you can imagine. What? More impact than you can image. What? Is this advertising the right thing? Why do I feel like this was like photoshopped on there? Well, I mean, it was obviously photoshopped, but like, why do I feel like this isn't the right ad? Oh my god. Look at the way that the hoverboard is. Yeah, the hoverboard definitely does not go, like, I don't even know how to, like, describe what's wrong with this photo, but you see what's wrong with the photo, right? If that hoverboard was correct, he would be going, like, off the road into, like, the water. He'd be going towards the water. It's not like a skateboard. The wheels are literally on the side. I will create unique, creative, and professional for $5. That right there, my friends, is supposed to say clock, but it just doesn't, does it? It just doesn't. What the? This is not okay. Okay, so they have the canola cooking spray, right? Which is, you use on things you're gonna eat, okay? And it looks exactly like the fly and insect killer spray. So say you bought both of these, you have them both in your house. Usually I keep like sprays like that, like for insects, like in my kitchen, like under my sink with all my cleaning stuff. It's just like where I keep it. So like, if I had those both out for whatever reason, say I grabbed the nice insect killer and sprayed it on my pans or something, would I die? Probably, yeah. Look at his little face. Is that a parking meter on like the ramp? This just makes my brain actually hurt trying to figure out like why they did that. Like, who approved this? This had to have gone through at least a couple different people, right? Before it just got put on the street. Or no. What was this supposed to be? A ramp or something? Because like right now all you've got is like stairs. And then like little people stairs. It's stairs for people like me. If you're 5 foot or under, those are the stairs for you, buddy. Ooh. Okay, so this is like a thing of vitamins for your hair, skin, and nails. I actually have some of these myself. Unfortunately, the way that it's written is chewable hair, skin, and nails. Ew. Again, I know that, like, CVS, come on. I go to CVS a lot. Like, a lot. This had to have gone through at least a couple people before it made it onto the shelves. How many people approved this before it made it to the shelves? I'm confused and I'm shook. What am I looking at? Is that a TV? Is that a TV going through the wall? That cannot be real. I can't believe this one. I don't know that there is like a crack, like in the wall. Why not take the TV down? How hard is it? I can imagine like this being like a public building and the construction workers were told to put a wall up. They weren't told to take the TV down, so they just literally went around the TV. That's what I'm imagining. And they just cut a hole. Oh my god. The dope boy socks. So they just have the word dope written on these socks, but like the letters are kind of scrambled. At first glance, I'm not gonna lie to you, I saw pee and I saw poop, but I did not see dope at all. You would have, like, if I wouldn't have seen the title here, I would have thought they were pee and poop socks. Especially made for those long hours you spend on the toilet. Speaking of the toilets, is that a drinking fountain? Y'all, don't. If you see a drinking fountain in a restroom, don't drink out of that. Don't ask why. Just don't. Worth it for the picture. This posing diner accidentally ruined her own meal. I think this is why whenever you see pictures taken of food, it's most likely taken by the person eating the food. Literally, so you can just do one of these numbers right here. Just your food is fine. Untouched, unharmed. What a waste. What a waste. You know that's expensive food because it's like a big plate with like this tiny little portion, right? That's how you know it is expensive food. Because cheap food, they don't care. They're going to give you a huge portion of it. They're like, get rid of it. It's cheap. But expensive food, they're going to give you like little tiny pieces. Don't be wasting food like that. Who needs a car wash? A driver claimed this woman was trying to clean her car with, you guessed it, folks, gasoline. Yes, this is probably the recipe for a complete and utter disaster. Why do I have the feeling that her car exploded? I don't know. I just feel like if you put gasoline on a car, that is just bound to happen at one point. I don't know. I mean, maybe not, but like, cars get really hot and like, gasoline, very flammable. I don't know. That's all I'm guessing. Also, why clean it with that? What happened to good old soap and water? Are we out of that time where soap and water is a thing? Now I'm starting to think otherwise. Looks like someone put too much soap in the washing machine. Can I tell you that I think about this every single time I wash my clothes? Whenever I'm putting like the detergent in there, I put like the liquid detergent, right? But I always like to put a little bit more than like necessary because I like them to be squeaky clean. But I imagine my brain this happening to me at least one time in my life because I am just a screw up, okay? This is the kind of thing that would happen to me. You can literally see it coming out of their front door. Although it does look like a lot of fun to play in. So is it really all that bad? How does this even happen? What is that? Is that a basketball hoop? Or a basketball net? Whatever? I can tell you exactly how it happened. She was with a group of friends. They were like, we're gonna dunk you, man. Or however people talk. I don't know. I don't go outside. And they literally probably picked her up and dropped her in. And girl's a little thick. Don't worry. It's a good thing. And now she's stuck there for eternity. Thank God the firemen have come to save the day. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I have a pretty big butt. It's always, like, my family is like that. We have big butts. It's like a big butt family. So, like, this, oh my god. I don't even think my butt would go, like, that far in. I honestly think it would get stuck, like, right at the top. I don't even think I'd go in. Either that, I know it would happen. It would be humiliating. The freaking, like, metal that would hold the, like, that holds the net would just bend. And it would just go, whoop. I would just fall to the floor. The hospital I'm at is putting cookies on the patient trays for Halloween. I don't think they thought this through. That's one big yike. Well, that is going to be all for today. I hope you guys enjoyed today's video. If you guys want to see more videos like this, please let me know in the comments and by giving me a thumbs up. Why am I out of focus? There we go. Hope you guys are having an awesome day, and I will see you all next time. Bye!
Common sense test that 88% of people can't pass. Here on Earth, humans are the most intelligent species around. We're self-aware, we can think critically, and we're incredibly inventive. But hey, don't let your head get too big. While you're probably super smart, your common sense may not be as sharp as you think it is. Don't believe me? See if you can answer these simple yet tricky questions. Don't forget that the answers may be right there in front of you. Remember to give this video a like, share it with your friends, and click subscribe. Stay on the bright side. 1. Okay, let's start with an easy one. You have 5 apples in a basket and 5 people to distribute them to. How can you give an apple to each person while still leaving one in the basket? Does your
your head hurt yet? The answer is actually pretty simple. Just keep the last apple in the basket and hand the basket with the apple in it to the fifth person. 2. Listen carefully to these words. Imagine you're in an office building and everything around you is on fire. Just beyond the desk in front of you is a door, but flames are in front of it. How do you get out? The answer? Well, stop imagining. The beginning of the sentence was, imagine you're in an office building. So the scenario wasn't even real in the first place. You were just imagining it. 3. How can a man go 8 days without ever hitting the hay? The same way you do. He sleeps at night. The same answer would apply conversely. If a man can go 8 nights without sleep, it's probably because he slept during the day. Pretty tricky, right? 4. Picture this. You live in a barn. While standing on the barn roof with one of your roosters, it lays an egg. In which direction does the egg roll? The egg doesn't roll anywhere because there is no egg. Roosters don't lay eggs. Perhaps the bigger question is, why are you guys on the barn roof? 5. This next question will put your knowledge of marriage law to the test. Is it against the law for a man to marry his widow's sister? While it's not exactly illegal, it would sure be hard considering the fact that the guy is dead. A widow is the living spouse of a person who has passed away. Gotcha there, didn't I? 6. You may have to really rack your brain with this next question. What goes up and down over and over again, but never actually travels anywhere? Do you give up? The answer is stairs. You go up and down stairs all the time, but the stairs are always in the same place. Unless, of course, you're talking about escalators, which are moving stairs. Okay, things are getting a little complicated here. 7. You'll love this question. It's all about money, honey. Do you know why 1968 pennies are more valuable than 1967 pennies? Well, considering the fact that 1,968 is just one digit higher than 1,967, that makes the amount larger and, therefore, a smidge more valuable. The numbers are referencing the amount of pennies and not the year, like your brain probably thought. Generally, no matter what year pennies were manufactured, they're all the same value. 1 cent. 8. Okay, you're all done reading the morning newspaper. You take out one page and fold it in half. How many more times can you fold it in half? Can't come up with an answer? Well, you can technically only fold the paper in half once. If you continue to fold it, you'll be folding it into fourths, then eighths, then sixteenths, then you get the idea. Okay, now the questions are about to get a little trickier. Do you think you can handle it? Let's put your common sense to the test. 9. This is Tom. Tom's dad has 5 sons named 10, 20, 30, and 40. Can you guess the name of the 5th son? The answer was right in the question. The 5th son's name is Tom. The question said, Tom's dad. After naming 4 of the sons, the 5th one must be Tom. 10. Which weighs more, 100 pounds of feathers or 100 pounds of bricks? You're probably assuming bricks, since they're obviously much heavier than feathers. But if you look a little closer at this question, you'll see that the answer is right there. Both the feathers and the bricks weigh 100 pounds. It's the amount of feathers and bricks that vary, not their weight of 100 pounds. 11. How far can you walk into the woods? If you're brave enough to walk into the woods by yourself, you'll learn that you can walk halfway into the woods. Once you pass the halfway mark, you're technically walking out of the woods. Or running, depending on what crazy stuff you find in there. You've seen the Blair Witch Project, right? 12. Think you're a whiz at math? Let's see if you can answer this question. How much dirt is there in a 14 by 12 by 10 hole? Okay, before you get a headache from all that computing, I'll give you the answer. There isn't any dirt in the hole. If it were filled with dirt, or anything for that matter, it wouldn't really be a hole, would it? 13. Here's another math question for all you wannabe Einsteins out there. How many times can you subtract 10 from 100? Okay, let's walk through this one together. If you were to subtract 10 from 100, you'd end up with 90. So, if you subtracted 10 again, well, you wouldn't be taking it from 100, you'd be taking it from 90. If you took away 10 more, you'd be taking it from the new amount of 80. This means you can only subtract 10 from 100 once. Makes sense, right? 14. You know how Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world, right? Well, before this mountain was established as the highest mountain in 1952, which mountain was the tallest in the world? Racking your brain trying to remember what you learned in geography class back in high school? Well, you're wasting your time. If Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world today, it was the tallest 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and so on. It still existed here on Earth, we just didn't know it yet. Still hanging in there? Okay, I have a couple more questions for you to solve. You can do it! 15. Think you're a wordsmith, do ya? Let's try this question on for size. Which word becomes shorter after adding two letters to it? Wait a minute. How can a word become shorter if you're adding letters to it? That doesn't make any sense. Actually, it makes plenty of sense once you realize the word I'm talking about is short. If you add two letters to the word, specifically E and R, the word literally becomes shorter. See? It does make sense. 16. Do you know why it is illegal for a person who is living in South Dakota to be buried in North Dakota? You know that burying a person alive is against the law, right? Well, that's why a living person can't be buried in South Dakota, North Dakota, or anywhere for that matter. Nowhere in the sentence did I say the person had passed away. Therefore, they're still alive and well. Whew, that was a close one. 17. As you probably already know, different countries celebrate different holidays. But if you're in England, can you still celebrate the 4th of July? Last time I checked, the month of July does exist in England. That means they have a 4th of July, a 5th of July, and a 6th of July. It may not be a national holiday over there, but the date still exists. However, you may be the only one in England craving hot dogs that day. After attempting to answer all these questions, there's no way your brain isn't tingling. I know mine is. If there's anything you take away from this, just know that sometimes things are simpler than they seem. Trust your common sense and try not to think too hard about things. You're smarter than you realize. Which question had your brain in knots the most? Tell us your thoughts in the comments. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to give this video a like, share it with your friends, and click subscribe. Stay on the bright side.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Prof, good afternoon.
How are you?
Fine, sir.
What are you people drinking?
This is fresh yo. Fresh yo is back.
Yes, sir. Fresh yo is back. That's nice. My angel, I heard you just won the YouTube Gold Award. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Wow. You people are really trying, you know.
Thank you, sir. It's God, though. It's God that is doing everything for us, sir.
Yes, sir. It's God.
God? Which God?
Our God.
Your God. Where is your God?
Our God is in heaven.
Can you see your God?
No.
Can you touch your God?
No.
Then, there is no God. Eh? Science has proven it, that anything you cannot see or touch does not exist. So, you don't have a God. What's that? Are you a graduate? I am a professor.
Professor, excuse me. How do you know there is no God?
Common sense. I use my sense.
Where is your sense?
My sense is up here.
Can you see your sense?
No.
Can you touch your sense?
No.
That means there is no sense.
Hmm?
Yes, because according to sense, anything you cannot see or touch does not exist. So, you don't have sense.
Emanuela.
Stop watching that very funny Makanja comedy. See you next Friday.
Fresh your drinking and what is back.
That's an advert.
That is not good talk. That what's back, you know. Leave it. I'm not going to pay my school fee.
Problem.
Oh, I love that. You ain't got no sense. Alrighty, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, folks. So, today we're talking about common sense. Well, common sense sometimes, I guess, isn't so common in today's day and age. There's a lot of crazy stuff out there, and you can find it if you're looking for it. Even if you ain't looking for it, you can find, lacks of common sense or whatever. You know, if you wake up in the morning and you pick up your socks and you can tell what foot they were on yesterday, it might be time to change your socks. You know, some people said, keep it simple, stupid. You know, it's like whenever you look out there and you hear about all the crazy stuff. That one time here way back, we watched a video and we talked about it on the video that was out there on YouTube. There was this guy that had what they call a Roman candle. And for some reason he gets this idea that it would be funny a YouTube video to basically shoot himself in the face with a Roman candle. I'm wondering where the common sense was there. I'm wondering why it is that he was surprised whenever he lit that thing and aimed it at his face and shot himself in the face with a Roman candle and then found out that it hurt really bad. Now, the next thing about that same exact scenario is I'm wondering why all of his friends stood idly by just to film him doing something so utterly ridiculous. I mean, because you had to have known. I mean, chances are, you know, if it's an explosive or a projectile or anything like that, then it's going to come out with some force, and you know, and if it's flaming when it comes out, chances are it's going to be hot. You know, fire is hot. You don't have to stick your finger in the fire 3 or 4 times before you realize that when you stuck your fire in there, your finger in the fire the first time, it hurt. So don't do that. It's as simple as that, you know. But yet they stood around idly by and they watched this man shoot himself in the face with a Roman candle, and some thought it was funny and some didn't think it was funny, and the one that obviously shot himself in the face with a Roman candle really didn't think it was funny anymore. But nonetheless, you have to question some people's common sense because of, you know, incidents such as that. Hey, listen to that first podcast on there, and the lady was talking about all kinds of different things that, you know, basically make it through, I don't know, I guess, you know, the people have to sign off for different projects and stuff, and so whenever these projects get there and it doesn't make any sense why somebody would put, you know, certain objects in the way, like parking meter right in the middle of a ramp to get up there onto the sidewalk, you know. First off, you shouldn't be parking in front of a ramp that somebody might need to get up there on the sidewalk to begin with, but for some sort of, you know, community to think that's a good idea to put a parking meter there. Well, that don't make any common sense at all. That don't make any sense, period. But anyway, you know, there's a lot of things that go on out there. People don't read labels on things. I mean, if you got electrical hair dryer, it really don't make any sense to jump in the shower and dry your hair while you're washing your hair. That wouldn't make any sense. Or even keep it on the side of the bathtub, for that matter. You know, for the most part, you know, water and electricity, you know, if the water's not conductive, so to speak, if it's not got any kind of, you know, crud in it, it might not be that dangerous, but nonetheless, common sense dictates maybe you might not want to do that. You know, maybe you might want to just put it somewhere safe and out of the way, you know, keep your space heaters at least 3 or 4 feet away from anything that could get hot and maybe burst into flames. You know, I think that very few people even read the labels. One of the things that she was talking about, and, you know, some of the things that she was talking about, I'm not even so sure that they were real deals, but if you're a company and you're making a product and it looks really similar to another product, like the bug spray and the cooking spray can looking the same color and all that kind of stuff, it's obvious that there are people out there that don't read labels or, you know, take the time to see which one's which before they pick it up. So sometimes you gotta be, sometimes you gotta use your common sense for other people's lack of common sense, maybe. I was in a store one day, and I was looking through the bicycle section. I was looking at some of these old different styles of bikes. They got mountain bikes and they got freestyle bikes and, you know, little kid bikes. But this one bike caught my attention because on the side of the bike, it had this real fancy label that said Wipeout on it. And I'm like, what the heck? Who would buy a bike that said Wipeout on it? Because that's probably the last thing you want to do is wipe out on a bike. I've done it before. Man, I've had some pretty spectacular bike wrecks in my time. And when I was younger, I wasn't really, what you'd say, financially, I was financially challenged. I wasn't really poor, but I wasn't nowhere near, financial stable to go out and buy me a brand new bike or anything like that. So I put some bikes together with things that I pulled up out of the dump. And sometimes it didn't go over so well because there's a reason why sometimes people put things in the dump. Might be because they weren't very good anymore. But nonetheless, because of hard financial times and I wanted a bike, I bought this bike up at the dump and, you know, put it all together. And kind of worked with it. It's got a duct tape and baling wire, like here at ShazizRadio.com. You know, we use duct tape and baling wire to keep everything together. But anyway, I had several old wipeouts on that bike because there used to be this hero that they called Evil Knievel. He used to take his motorcycle and he'd get going really fast and he'd fly up over these ramps and jump over cars and buses and fountains and all that kind of jazz, and the next thing you know, he'd be wiping out. You know, spectacular crashes. It's lucky the man didn't get killed in the process of half of the things that he did, but common sense should have told him, you know, this could go terribly wrong. And I guess that's why they called him a daredevil, you know. You know, sometimes it's better just maybe to keep your feet on the ground and not necessarily be that daredevil. But either way, he did. And I think the last stat that I ever heard about old Evil Knievel was that he'd broke nearly every bone in his body, wiping out. So as I'm looking at that bike in the doggone store, I'm like, who in the heck would buy that bike for their kid when it says wipeout right on the side of it? And who in the marketing field out there think it would be a good idea to put wipeout on a bicycle? I just don't get it. And I'm sure that you probably witness a lot of ridiculousness out there in society while you're looking around and seeing some of the intelligent or lack thereof things that people do. It just, that little kid down here in that last video, whenever he told that professor, when the professor said there wasn't no God because science said that if you can't see it and you can't touch it and all this, that there ain't no God, well, then the kid said about his common sense, if you can't see it and you can't touch it, then science says you ain't got no sense. That might be the case. Maybe ain't none of us got any common sense. You know, a lot of those deals like what played in the very first little podcast there about different questions, trick questions is basically what, you know, most of them end up being because people like to overthink it. You know, that whole little phrase there, keep it simple, stupid. You know, usually, and I think even Occam's Razor talks about the simple solution is usually the proper solution or the best solution. This world that we live in, it's, you know, it makes no sense to me a lot of times what goes on out there in this world. There's a lot of wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, and all that kind of stuff. And you got folks out there that just run around in panic mode day after day and thinking somebody's out to get them, the terrorists is behind every bush, and you can't trust the average Joe out there because they might going to rob you or whatever. You know, when you go to do things in life, you got to use common sense. You got to think about things. You got to slow down and think things through instead of hastily jumping into any situation. So a little bit of common sense could go a long way. But you don't always see that. You definitely don't always hear that from the representation out there, the so-called congressmen and senators and people out there that are supposedly highly intelligent. You know, they've been to college or whatever, but you see how that little kid got the one over on the professor, told him, there ain't no God because you can't see no God. You can't feel or touch, you know. So science proves there ain't no God. Well, the same thing about common sense. You can't see his sense. You can't touch it and all that kind of stuff. So maybe you ain't got no sense. So either way, you know, there's a whole lot more of the world than meets the eye, but you've got to, you know, try to figure out a way to safely make it from point A to point B without doing something stupid. You know, I think every single one of us has probably done something stupid. Heck, I remember a long time ago I saw a cartoon where they stepped on a rake and the rake came up and hit them in the face, and I'm like, I wonder if that's really the case, you know. It is. It really is. I stepped on that rake and it did just what it did in the cartoon. Come up and hit me in the face. That probably wasn't a good idea. Probably shouldn't have tried it. But, you know, nonetheless, I did. I tried it. So, yeah, if you wake up in the morning and you can tell which foot your sock was on last, it's probably time to change your socks. You know, if you can stand them up in the corner like a pair of boots, then yeah, it's probably time to change your socks. Maybe someday they will invent some biodegradable socks and you can just wear them till they rot off, and I guess that'll be all right, because then you'll know to change your socks as soon as they rot off your feet. You know, I've seen some people that run around with socks that's got holes all up in them. You know, there might be some people out there do it because they can't afford to buy new socks. But then there's other people want to get their money's worth out of it. But, you know, at least if you're going to wear holy socks, throw them in the washer once in a while so you can't tell what foot they were on last. And then that might mean they might be just a little bit cleaner. They don't smell so bad if if you take your boots off or whatever. Come in, take your shoes off, make yourself at home. Oh, go out, put your shoes back on, you're reeking up the house. That kind of stuff. You know? You don't want to run over to the barbecue while it's a fire going on and throw some gas on the fire for obvious reasons. But you see people do things like that. There was a video out there a long time ago where this Russian guy was going to, he was in his swimming shorts, and he's going to go out there and jump in a swimming pool that was frozen over the top. And then whenever he did that, he basically hurt his back on the solid ice because it was a little thicker than he planned. He didn't break through it. So I probably wouldn't have done it to begin with, because that didn't make any sense why anybody would try to jump in a cold pool like that when you see there's ice over the top of it. Some of the things that people do, you know, they're really highly questionable. So, you know, if you happen to think of something that is perfect evidence of the lack of common sense, throw it up here in the chat room and say hi out there. By the way, you're listening to ShazizRadio.com, and if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, and that's where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms, as well as while you're on the Super Chat room, you scroll down and look down underneath the chat room. There is a People for People radio link. Click on there and go over there and tell those people about common sense. Say hi. Tell them that crazy old crazy-haired Shaziz sent you. So anyway, I've seen it all. You know, I've watched some of these people out there. We've had some really bad weather here in the last few days down in my general vicinity. And there are people that decided to get out there on the ice and snow with their vehicles and drive as if it was a sunny day in the middle of July or something like that. And so they're tooling on down the road, and somebody else who had a little bit of common sense decided, well, maybe they better slow down and try to drive a little slower. Well, when they begin to drive a little bit slower, the people behind them come flying up on them and, you know, started a domino effect. I think one wreck, they said, was like 20 to 60 cars, and one wreck was about 15 cars, and there were a couple unfortunate casualties in the deal and lots of injuries and probably massive amounts of property damage. You know, it's unfortunate. I feel bad when people get hurt. I don't want people to get hurt. I just think that maybe some folks ought to think a little bit more before they actually get out there and live life. You know, get out there. That's the whole key. You're supposed to live life, not lose it. But we see it on a daily basis. We see it on a daily basis with the military-industrial complex and other nations fighting over things that they shouldn't be fighting over because the world has provided everything we needed. But common sense doesn't always rule the day, and that's unfortunate, you know. And if we could ever just maybe get people back around to that thing where common sense starts to, you know, do what it should have been doing. Basically, common sense is there, you know, to try to give you a little bit of insight of what maybe not to do in life. Keep you safe. You know, listen to that little voice in the back of your head says, maybe that's not such a good idea. Don't do that. There are a lot of risk takers in the world that, you know, they know the outcome could be potentially hazard, but they try it. Matter of fact, if you go out there on YouTube, you'll find people that they do their YouTube channel by basically doing really crazy things. And, you know, there's actually people that subscribe to all that. They want to watch people doing crazy things. They want to watch people, you know, climbing these really high towers and hanging off the edge with no safety harness or anything like that. Just something something that looks really dangerous and scary, you know, testing the limits of humanity and safety and all that kind of stuff. Well, I, for one, like to try to keep my feet as close to the ground as possible, and if I do have to go up a tree to maybe saw something, I'm going to use some safety precautions and a ladder, and I'm going to think it through, and I'm going to make sure that before I climb up that tree, that I've weighed out every possible option and taken every single possible safety precaution. You know, sometimes the best safety precautions, you know, ain't enough. You know, sometimes there's unforeseen circumstances, but better safe than sorry, I'd think. You know, my friend was telling me about why it is he don't wear seat belts and all that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of people think seat belts is a good idea because the law says that you got to wear a seat belt in most places, but a lot of people don't like seat belts because they, number one, they don't like to be told what to do, and number two, they heard a lot of stories about why seat belts aren't safe. Maybe they don't want to wear the seat belt, but either way, I kind of think back, maybe I'm going to wear my seat belt because I don't like the idea of flying through the windshield or having my face smashed by the dash, or even these modern day cars, they think, well, it's got an airbag, so why do I need a seatbelt? Well, because those airbags are screaming out there really fast, and they're going to punch you in the face like a fist and probably knock your tooth out or something. Might even black your eye, give you some powder burns or, you know, something like that. So common sense dictates maybe you might want to stay as far back away from that airbag if it ever has to be deployed so that you don't get punched in the face with it. That's what I'd be thinking anyway. But who am I to say? Because some of these so-called common sense tests that you see out there on the internet, you know, they're more like trick questions than anything. It's all, if you ain't really paying really close attention, you know, in the military they said attention to detail was the key right there. You had to pay attention to detail. Well, if somebody's asking you a question like, you know, the plane crash one where, you know, if there's a plane crash in Canada, and where do you bury, right on the border of Canada and America, where do you bury the survivors? Well, anybody that would have common sense who took the time to actually think through what was just said knows you don't bury the survivors. You know, things like that. I can understand somebody, you know, overthinking a trick question like that. But I can't understand people just overlooking the simple of the common sense. Think about it before you do it kind of thing. You know, don't go in there and stomp on that rake, because chances are that rake's going to fly up and pop you in the mug, and it ain't going to be pretty. You know, your face is a little softer than a wooden rake handle or something like that. So, whenever you, the lady was talking about why they would put a drinking fountain in the restroom. I wouldn't drink out of that water fountain either, but who was thinking that kind of stuff? You know, who thinks about the names on products? Who thinks about all this stuff? And why is it that whenever they were thinking about all these things, that they didn't, you know, weigh out every single option? Maybe this isn't the best advertising advice. Like, I know that by law, that a lot of these people that sell these different prescriptions for different types of diseases or whatever, you know, medicines is supposed to basically help you out or whatever, they put on there the possible side effects. And when you roll the possible side effects up, it's like a book, you know, of here's the disease that we're trying to help you with, and here's the possible side effects of this medicine. So common sense would dictate maybe you just might not want to take that, because the things that they say are possible side effects are actually worse in most part than the doggone disease itself. Well, I think that with today's technology and, you know, a little bit of knowledge and common sense from past learning experience from different types of people around the world, different cultures, that the common cold should have been a long gone thing. It should have been something in the past. And we don't have colds anymore because we've learned how to use nature's medicine to cure, you know, these afflictions or whatever. And then even the scientific understanding of what actually causes the cold to begin with. You know, the educational system, as far as I'm concerned, has kind of dropped the ball on society because the people growing up these days, they don't seem to have much common sense. And when you spend a lot of time I'm going to throw Patty up here in this call here. Let me see if I can get her on there. But anyway, if you don't spend the time learning a lot of real science, then chances are you're probably going to be. Let me see this if I can get this going here. Do 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 do. Anyway, hi Patty. How you doing? Your microphone muted? Nope, she can't hear me yet. Oh, I can hear you now.
I had to turn off the... Yeah, I got an echo. It's gone.
Yes, sir.
I had the radio going on site, so I was like, what, what? And then I remember, oh, yeah, I'm on my first cup of coffee, so it's kind of slow.
Cool. Well, I'm sitting here talking about common sense. I basically just got through saying something about how I feel like the modern-day educational system has dropped the ball on common sense because... I feel like that maybe some of the youth that's coming out of schools these days, they got a little bit of, bad science to them, and they don't really think things through. I know there are full-grown men, I'd say anywhere from 18 to 20-year-olds, maybe even up into 30-year-olds that I've witnessed that don't even know how to change a car tire. And then if they do go to change a car tire, some of the practices by which you use for safety, they don't really practice common sense. I mean, it's like whenever you drive into the store, and my wife has actually done this once or twice because she's got distracted. You drive to the store, you pull up in the parking spot, you're sitting there texting your friend and everybody, you got your foot on the brake, and then you go to shut your car off, you jump out of the car, and get ready to head in the store, and the next thing you know, your car's heading across the parking lot. There might be a problem there. Common sense dictates before you get all involved in everything else, you might want to finish parking the car first. Put it in park. She came home and basically, she didn't wreck her car or anything, but she said she did that at least once or twice in a week. I'd say it'd be common sense would be about time to maybe lessen your schedule a bit. What did you think?
I can't say much to that, Shaziz, because I have a story about that.
You've done it.
when I was young, I pulled up to get my paycheck out, and I thought I put it in park, and I ran in, and I got my paycheck, and of course my boss, he's wanting to talk a little bit. And then I come out, and my car's not in the parking lot, and I'm like, what? You know, where'd my car go? Did somebody take my car? And then I looked across the street, and there's a crowd of people standing there looking in the ditch. And I'm saying, what the heck? My car had backed up in the ditch.
I'm not laughing at your misfortune, Patty, but I'm seeing this visually in my head. It's like crazy. It's like, man, somebody stole my car. No, you didn't put it in park. It's over there. I saw that when my friend parked his truck. You know, he parked his truck out in front of my mom's house, and he come inside, and he come out, and his truck's gone, and he's like, where in the heck's my truck? And he looked down the street, and his truck was sitting up against the tree down the street. Luckily, it wasn't rolling fast enough to, hurt the thing, because it still had the clutch, you know, off of the thing. But he didn't put the emergency brake on, and so he had a weak clutch in there, and it kind of gradually creeped down the road and then parked itself up next to the tree. Could have been worse. But nonetheless, you know, we get busy. We get so busy with life, we forget to exercise common sense. What do you think?
Oops. Well, yeah, and you know, it's those life lessons like that teach you that when you pull up in a parking lot, make sure your car is in park. Yeah. You know?
You know, one time I thought it'd be a good idea. I thought it'd be funny that, you know, it had been raining out, stopped raining. Me and my brother was walking down the road, and I saw this old mud puddle, and my brother just walked past it. And so I think, you know, I'm gonna get him. I'll go run up there. I stomped in that mud hole, but there's just enough lip on the other side of that mud hole that when I stomped on it, it sloshed the water right directly back in my face. And my brother just kind of turned around, looked at me, and busted out laughing. He said, "That's what you get."
Well, yeah, that's what they did. You know, the people, when I went and finally stood over there with the people, they were looking in the ditch at my car. And I said, "How did that happen?" And they turned around to me. And they said, "We watched it back up across the street. We thought you were in it, you know." But yeah, I couldn't go into town for like a month after that without somebody, you know, cracking a joke. So it kind of, yeah, back then you had support, you know. They razzed you about it, and they gave you such a hard time, you never did forget it again.
Yeah,
they don't do that anymore.
You know, there used to be people that would go in the store and they'd tell somebody, "Hey, you know, such and such color car with such and such license plates left their lights on," you know, and basically, you know, would save somebody from coming out after they did some shopping and have a dead battery. But these modern day cars, they got these timers on the headlights now. And so when they do that, you know, basically, I guess it's good to get you to the house, but if that relay ever failed, then it wouldn't shut the lights off and your battery would run down anyway. So some vehicles don't even give you a choice these days about shutting the lights off whenever you when you leave the car. But I think that a lot of people have gotten used to that the lights shut themselves off automatically off on a lot of the newer cars nowadays, so they won't come in and tell you that the, you know, the lights are on your car or anything like that. I guess I suppose it would be aggravating if you knew that your lights did that and then you kept on getting told that you left your lights on in the car, all that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, when they changed that over, you know, I wonder if the industry ever thought about that. You know, little things like that people are going to be telling you at the store you left your lights on all the time. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah. Well, industry is responsible for a lot of the lack of common sense. I mean, when you go into Walmart, say, and you're asking a person, you know, you see this package, and it's one of those things that you have to put it together, right? You buy it, and it's like a shelving unit or something, but you know you're going to have to put it together, and you've got the guy who works in that department, and you say, "Hey, do you have a model of this set up somewhere?" You know, and they say, "Oh yeah, we got one around the corner." So you go around the corner, and people look at it and they say, "Oh yeah," and the guy says, "Yeah, it was really simple to put up." And so the people say, "Okay, cool." So they get it, and this is a story from my son, so I know. So you get it because the guy said, "Man, you can put that sewing gun up in 10 minutes, you know, and it's nice and sturdy and everything." So you go home, he goes home and he unpacks the thing and he takes out the directions in it, and of course they got like three or four different languages so that you know whichever one, and they got the picture diagrams that show you the little screw and the little dot taking you to the exact place where you gotta insert that screw, you know, and so you've got everything on that piece of paper that you need to put that shelf together. It tells you A goes with A, B, da 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 da, has little dot dashes that show you the part and where it goes on the product. And when you get it all together after maybe 45 minutes of frustration because the screws don't fit, they're the wrong size screws, the shelf is too long, or they don't have all the pegs so the shelves aren't level, you know, all of this different stuff, you have this frustration, you pack it all up and you take it back to Walmart and you say, look, dude, the screws were too long, they didn't fit in the shelving unit, da-da-da-da-da. And so he takes the product back, but it's because it came from the manufacturer with the wrong screws. Somebody put the wrong screws in it. So you've got somebody frustrated and working on this shelving unit, trying to put it together for 45 minutes, and they never thought to look and see if that screw would even fit flush into that shelving unit, because that's where the problem is. Your screws are about a quarter inch too long. You can't get them to fit, you know? They put the wrong screws in the pack, but because that piece of paper didn't say, these screws must be this long, you didn't think. You thought it was you, you know? So you kept trying to put this shelving unit together that you can't put together because it has the wrong screws.
Well, sometimes,
and my son had that experience. But it came from the manufacturer that way.
Sometimes it is you, though, because sometimes, you know, men got this crazy thing, and any man out there who wants to be intellectually honest will agree that whenever you bring that package home, I don't need no directions. Why, I can figure this out. This is simple. And that takes a long time, and it gets man-fixed, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, I saw something the other day that totally blew my mind, because you're talking about man-fixing, where you always have, what's all that left over? Oh, you just don't need those parts. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know that? You know what I'm talking about? Well, I saw a package that came in a project box or whatever it is. It says extra parts. They gave you the extra parts before, and they put them in a little bag so you know. And I thought about this. I said, you know, that must be for the guys who actually know how to put it together that don't have any extra parts.
Yep.
At the end of it, they'll have their little extra parts.
But wouldn't common sense say that at least read the directions first, you know? I know men are men, and they got to do the things the way they got to do them, you know? It's a man thing. I'm a genius. I don't need to read no directions. Well, that goes not just for men, but goes for women, you know? Read the directions before you dye your hair with certain chemicals, because it might not turn out the way you think, or the same color that you were looking for. You see what I mean? But how many people do you think read before they actually utilize a product? It's crazy.
And you know, the thing of it is if in this day and age, if you want to know, if you want to see it done, all you got to do is go to YouTube and do a search on whatever it may be that you want to put together, you want to buy, you want to see how it works. You can go to YouTube, and there's videos of people that are showing you step by step, you know?
How-tos, DIYs.
Yeah, but nobody, you know, and you tell them, well, they'll show you on YouTube. I can do it. I got it. You know, but it saves hours of frustration, you know?
Well, they say the road to disaster was paved by good intentions. I think part of that road was paved by the lack of common sense. That's what I think. You know, common
sense. Well, they're breeding it out of us.
Well, I think that's the case. I honestly think that there's a planned effort to literally dumb down the population. You know, when I watched that movie, Idiocracy, first off, I didn't really like the movie because it had a lot of disgusting things in it, but nonetheless, it makes you think. It makes you think whether or not one day society could actually be that stupid, you know? It's crazy. You know, you don't really want to be rude and call nobody stupid, but they were watering their plants with Gatorade, for Pete's sakes. Now, somebody didn't pay attention in science class, obviously, or science class wasn't teaching science. You see what I mean?
Well, it's like, do not put this plastic bag over your head.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's obvious. Why would you not want to do that? Well, that's another thing. A lot of the products that, you know, are sold out there, they have warning labels on there that are, you know, to people with common sense, seem to be, You know, why would they put that? I would know not to do that. Well, you would know not to do that. But believe it or not, there really are people out there that wouldn't know that not to do that. Like my friend Thomas, he's always saying, don't look into the laser with the remaining eye. And when you think about that for a second, it makes sense. You know, you only got one eye left because you already looked into the laser once. Maybe you might not want to do it a second time. You only got to touch the hot pan one time before you realize that it hurts. And so it's a good possibility that you might not want to repeat the same thing without some oven mitts. Like the other day,
right.
This is a true story. The other day my wife said, she opened up the stove and she said, there's something burning in there. And can you get it out? And I was like, oh boy, here we go. I said, I don't know if I necessarily want to mess with this. And I look back in there and there's an old French fry that I guess my daughter cooked some French fries and dropped a French fry down at the bottom of the stove there. And so I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, I got to get this thing out because it's smoking up, stinking up the house. But, you know, common sense should have said, shut the heater, shut the element off, and then, you know, deal with the problem. But, you know, my man fixing kicked in, and I was like, I'll get this up out of here. All right? So I look around for something because I obviously didn't want to, like, reach across that hot element and, you know, burn myself. So I get me an oven mitt, and I get me these barbecue tongs thing, and I reach back in there, and I get the first French fry out, and, did it really super careful, because I didn't want to touch the hot electrical element and everything, and got it out of there, and then realized that there was another one back in there, so I reach back in there, and I get that one. The tongs are a little bit shorter. Well, this time around, the oven mitt touched the element, and the glove burst into flames. Of course, I right promptly put the fire out of the oven mitt, took the glove off. I didn't burn myself, but I did destroy her oven mitt. So, I didn't use some common sense during that particular incident. But it's a learning lesson in life that maybe would teach you in the future.
Huh?
You cut out there, lady.
All right. A better one. I said I got a better one than that.
Oh, let's hear it.
My bus that I used to live in, right?
Yeah.
I was moving books out because I had, like, a large library of books. And I needed room in my bus. So my son, my eldest son, he was there, and he was talking to me, and I'm picking up these boxes of books, and I'm taking them out to, he's pulled his pickup truck up to the back of the bus and laid down the tailgate so I can just walk out the back of my bus and put these books in his truck bed so we can take them, and he's going to store them at his house. So he's talking to me, he's sitting at the table, and he's talking while I'm picking this box of books up, and I go walking out of the back of the bus. Well, it's a 1965 Bluebird, you know, school bus, so that means it's got the rounded top, right?
Yeah.
And it's just barely 6 foot ahead, you know. So I'm walking out, and you have to duck to get out that back door, but I did. I ran right into it, my forehead, you know, and backs me up a little bit, and my son says, Mom, are you all right? Are you all right? And I said, yeah, it just hit my head, you know. I'm okay. So I bring the box out, and I put it in the truck, and I come back in. We talk for a little bit. I pick up another box, turn around, walk, boom. I walk into it again.
Man.
Now, at the time that I hit it, I heard my son go, giggle, giggle in the back. So I turned around, and he wiped that smile off his face real fast and looked down, you know. So I just carried the box on out and put it in the truck. Come back in, get another box, did it again.
Man.
And as soon as I did it, my son just fell on the floor laughing. He couldn't stop laughing. And I took it out there, and he made me sit down. He says, Mom, next time you're going to knock yourself out. Let me do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, three times in a row. It took three times after that. I haven't never done it again, she says, but it took me 3 times.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way it happens for people. Sometimes it takes them multiple times to finally get some common sense and remember to duck. That's why the military is always telling you, attention to detail, proceed with caution, and all that kind of stuff, you know. Move slow and precise, and everything will go just fine. A lot of people just like rush into things. You know, there's some folks out there that do some really crazy things. If you go out there and watch out, people are amazing on YouTube. You'll find that there's these gymnasts that do all kinds of, look like defying the laws of physics type of gymnastics and stuff. But I think myself, I'm looking, you know, with some common sense, and I'm saying, you know, that's a recipe for disaster. That could go terribly wrong really quick. Now, I guess if you're a daredevil, you're willing to take that chance that everything's going to go fine and you're going to land your landing fine and everything's going to work out and it's going to look cool and everybody's going to be all excited and everything like that. But it really didn't work out for Evel Knievel so well on multiple occasions. But he kept on doing it, you know. I guess that's part of the exciting portion of life. Some people like to live on the edge, but I'm not one of those individuals that want to, you know, test the boundaries of physics and science and stuff like that. Now, when it comes to science, you know, I'll test it, you know, with electrical, but I'm always proceeding with caution and stuff. You see what I'm saying there? You know, we got to get some more people out there in the world to take a little bit more time to really think about what they're about to do or even say, for that matter, before they do or say it. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and I think though that youth, if you're going to learn some of these lessons, that's the time to do it before your bones harden.
Yeah.
You know, and while your body is young enough to be healthy enough to heal. And, you know, I think that's the way the Creator made things, because He knew that people inherently want to experience, and they ask the what if, you know, can I, what would happen if, and when you're a kid, those checks and balances of saying, well, if you look, you can probably figure out that if you jump off that roof, you're probably going to break a leg if you're lucky, and a lot worse if you're not. You know, if you want to skate down on a board, there's a 50-50 chance that you're not going to have children in the future. You know,
yeah.
Things like this. But when you but when you're young, you don't go there. You just say, man, wouldn't it be cool if I learned how to skate down that rail? And so youth is the time. If you're going to do it, that's when you need to go out there and do your best, you know. But it's the adults that are really making me shake my head today.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You think some of them, after all the years of wiping out on skateboards and bicycles and unicycles and stuff like that, would have developed a little common sense? But they don't, you know. You know, when I was younger, you remember those really hard super balls that they had? They was like about the size, a little less than a tennis ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one time I thought, you know, I'm going to see how high I can bounce this thing. So I went down there and I slammed that with all my might down on the curb. Right? Well, it came flying right back up and blacked my eye. That wasn't a very smart thing to do. I wonder where the common sense was that day. I mean, if I throwed it straight flat down on the street, if I'd have actually thought it out, then I probably would not have got a black eye. But I didn't think it out very well. You know, there's been other incidences in my life. Maybe too many of those incidents. So, I mean...
Well, yeah, do you remember the clackers? They were called clackers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What it was.
Those
yeah,
things
the glass
are dangerous.
Balls. Right. The manufacturer produces these huge, heavy glass balls on strings, and they're connected, and you put the string between your index finger and your thumb, and you move your wrists up and down, it causes these balls to clack up top and bottom, you know?
Yep.
Right? Well, the manufacturer that thought this idea up and said it'd be good to make these glass balls so that people can knock them together right in front of their face, you know, and it'll be cool. They'll have fun doing that. And then the reason why, you know why they don't make those anymore, Shazus?
Probably because people lost a lot of teeth and got a lot of black eyes and a few broken noses and some knots on their head, goose egg the size of China. Because those things were hard.
Yeah, but they were shattering also.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
chipping off and stuff. They throw those thin shards, the real, you know, from where they hit. And what was the manufacturer thinking? That if you hit these glass balls together real hard and real fast, like people are going to do, because that's what we made this product for, you know, didn't they think that maybe it might not be a good idea?
Well, later on, they actually made a version that had a really hard acrylic, and even those weren't safe.
Yeah, but that's because they probably were getting too many reports of injuries of people, you know?
Yeah, I like to go in thrift stores, and every time I go in thrift stores, I like to look at some of the old toys that they had back in, say, the 40s and 50s, and maybe even earlier than that, some of the old toys that they used to have. Do you know they actually had electric stoves for kids back in those days?
Yeah.
Yeah, you plug these things in and they had heating elements on there. I'm like, what kind of parent would give a child, I mean, they were well made and everything like that, but, you know, if anything ever goes awry with that, that's probably why they put, you know, like disclaimers on things nowadays. And I wonder how many people, how many companies were sued because they made an electric stove for a kid. You know, you could actually cook on them things. You know, it wasn't like the, you remember the little easy bake ovens? I had one. Those weren't so dangerous. They had a light bulb inside of them, but they were something that, you know, you'd expect the parent to be keeping an eye, you know, working, playing with it with the child, you know, not to leave them unattended by themselves, you know, with electricity and heat and all that involved in it. You used to be able to make little cakes in them and stuff like that. That was a pretty neat little deal. But there's probably a lot of parents that didn't take the time to, you know, supervise. There were probably a lot of parents that didn't supervise their children with those style of toys. And you remember lawn darts?
Oh, I love lawn darts.
Yeah.
Lawn darts.
What were they thinking when they put lawn darts out there to people? I mean,
I think they should have sent them when you bought the lawn dart kit with a pre-sharpening tool for the tips.
Well, yeah, but when you put lawn darts out into a world with individuals that might not have common sense, I've seen lawn darts actually stuck in roofs before. So if it'll stick in a roof, there's a good chance it might stick in a back or a neck.
Yeah, but you know what? If the onus is on the user to use his common sense, if they don't, that's just Darwin's theory. Let it run with it. Why would you be opposed to that?
Well, that was what
they allowed Darwin's theory to rule the day when we were kids. You know?
And guess what?
But they don't do that today. Today, everything is safe, so the kids don't learn common sense.
I want to bring back lawn darts and call them, you know, find a special name for them to really, really get up on somebody's feelings.
Darwin's toys?
Yeah. I'm not sure what I walked into, but good morning, everybody.
Well, we're talking about common sense. You know, common sense, it ain't so common anymore, and I see that you're probably closer to the theory of evolution that Darwin's, you know, everything will sort itself out people-wise, but I'm in amazement. I'm like looking at the world and I'm trying to figure out why the world does what the world does when if you used a little bit of common sense. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, you don't go up on the barbecue grill that's already lit and throw gas on the fire because, you know, that could potentially go wrong, you know?
I would cheer somebody on for that. Do it. Live stream. Come on.
No, I'm trying to.
You know, when I was a kid, me and my brother would play, we ran around barefoot, right? And we were, you know, raised in the swamp. We had knives. And one of our games that we played was chicken. You ever played that?
Oh, I seen it.
Yes!
I seen it. Well, call myself a little overcautious or maybe even slightly paranoid if you like, but I ain't playing that game because, see, one thing, if you ever want to get rich, go to the gambling casino and gamble, bet on whatever it is that I do not, all right?
When we were kids, we used to play war games. Most boys that I knew growing up when they were younger would play war games. And when you got, like, in your early teens, like 13, 14, you got into, like, air guns, like teleguns and BB guns, that just upped the ante. And we'd play war games with that because it was great fun running around having to shoot each other with a BB gun. Didn't do a lot of damage. You know, it would sting and it would get into your skin and la 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 la. But you just became that much better or smarter or worked harder to avoid getting shot. I know.
I see what you're.
Kids did that.
I see what you're saying.
I'm still here today.
I see what you're saying. You know, you got to balance out things, and you got to educate people and let them learn some hard lessons in life. I get all that. You know, but we've gotten to the way that society is today. It blows my doors off because everything.
We've gotten that way because we took that ability away.
You know, they got warning labels on everything.
Listen, when you have to put caution, coffee might be hot because some burnt themselves and sued the company and won. Guess what? It's not the coffee's fault. It's not the heat's fault. It's you being a...
Yeah, I get that. I mean, if it's hot, it's supposed to be hot when it comes out of the hot coffee pot, then chances are you might not want to take a... You know, spill it on yourself or take a drink of it real quick. But, you know, we gotta figure out a way to either start teaching people in school things or allow them
Listen,
to...
Let me give you an example. Here's a real-world example. There's a lot of people in today that are against, like, hunting and you know, the furrier business and things like that. All the cool guys killing animals for fur and... You know, all this wonderful stuff. PETA and all these other groups, and they protest and they do some horrific stuff to people, right? You'll never see those same people going to a biker bar and complaining to bikers about wearing leather, because if they do, they'll get their asses beat.
No.
So they stay away. It's called common sense.
All right. Well,
right? You need more common sense. You need more people getting slapped in the mouth for being
stupid.
When you learn from those examples of, oh, that didn't work out, I better not do that again. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Then people start to wake up. And then they teach their kids not to do those things from experience.
Yeah, I get that. So, you know, look, there's warning labels.
People need to skin their knees. If they don't ski in the knees, they never learn to ride the bike properly.
Yep. So, yeah, I see your point. So anyway, I'm saying there's warning labels. There's warning labels on just about everything, but very few people ever really take the time to read them. They don't read the directions on certain things, and a lot of things go awry. I think. Some of which is, you know, the world is getting so distracted, people don't take the time to basically do something, understand why it is not a good idea to be driving down the road while texting on your phone, you know, because you're not focusing on the road anymore. There's something that could potentially be a hazard there. But you can't go
around. There's truth to that, but it goes even deeper than that. Here's a perfect example. Facebook. Everybody loves Facebook today. Everybody's using it. Everybody loves it. Everybody just, you know, when you join Facebook, you just click on that box. Yes, I've read and understand the user policy. How many people actually click on those things and actually read them? Very, very few do. So then when you come back and something happens that you don't like on Facebook and you complain about Facebook while you're on Facebook because of the bad things Facebook does, you overlook the fact that your rights stopped when you agreed to their terms of service.
Yeah, I get that.
Because you chose not to read it and just click it because you wanted to participate, you give up your rights. It's the same thing right across the board in life today. In politics, in economics, in all kinds of things. And common sense is, listen, I probably want to read this to know what I'm agreeing to before, not after.
Well, that's the best time to get any situation under control is to pay attention before. That's what I said back to what the military used to say all the time. Attention to detail.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's no accident. I mean, it's no accident that we find ourselves where we are now because the manufacturers and the government, they take care of you. They tell you what's bad for you and they tell you what's good for you. When we were kids, we didn't have those little warning labels. I remember getting the bows and arrows with the little rubber thing on the end of it, you know, and you shot it and it stuck to the wall. We would take them outside, and they don't stick to trees or anything with them rubber things, so what did we do? We took the rubber thing off them. And when you shoot them at yourself, at somebody without the rubber thing on them, it hurts, right? So you learn, no, that's not good to shoot without the rubber thing at a person, you know. You learned it so, because you felt it, so you said, okay, I remember this, you know. But they don't do that anymore.
Listen, you need to skin your knee. It's important. It's a part of growing up.
Well, I agree that, you know, there's a lot of life lessons out there that need to be learned, and society has gotten to the point where pretty much all the people growing up are pretty much pampered these days. You don't get out there and do things. I don't know how it is that a full-grown man in today's society doesn't even know how to change a tire on a vehicle that they're going to be driving to and from work, because, you know, obviously there, you know, might be nails or something that's going to poke a hole in the tire at some point in the game, and the weather might not be so good to be changing a tire out there, so you might want to have an extra spare or some gloves in your car or something like that, some sort of common sense thing. But there are literally full-grown men today who don't know anything about mechanics or how to change a tire, something as simple as change a tire on a car. So I have to ask, is that part of the education system? Is it part of the families themselves actually dropping the ball? Like back whenever I was a kid, my uncles would take me fishing and hunting and all these different things, and they would actually teach me the ropes and how to keep safe if I'm going to be doing these things, you know. And so I learned a lot, and I learned from trial and error, just like you're talking about. I learned that it's probably not a good idea to replicate what Evel Knievel did on his motorcycle with an old bicycle that you pulled out of the dump and put together with used parts. It wasn't very brilliant. So I wiped out a few times. But thinking back to what I mentioned earlier about this bicycle that I saw in the store, and the bike itself has the name labeled on it, Wipeout. I mean, it's like, why would you buy it? Why would you buy a bike that said Wipeout on it? Because that's probably...
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's probably the last thing you want to do is wipe out. I mean, seriously. I'm just asking these questions because, to me, you know, I'm only 54 years old, which some people don't think is very old, but if you knew the lifestyle that I led, I just got through mentioning jumping ramps like Evel Knievel, and I had a brother that was insane that would kick the board out from me, and I'd run over the bricks, and I'd wipe out, you know, or I'd do something stupid, do a wheelie, and the wheel would fly off, and then I'd wipe out in the middle of the road, and all the girls would point and laugh and ridicule and all that kind of stuff. Well, I probably shouldn't have been pulling wheelies with a front tire that had the nut stripped on it, you know? But, you know, even as smart as I might think I am today, I made a lot of crazy choices in my life. Didn't show a lot of common sense. It's not something
back
that comes
in the
easy.
Beginning, back in the beginning when ATVs first came out, if you remember the Big Red, the Honda Big Red, and the three-wheeler and all those kinds of things, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was with a foster, I grew up in the foster system, so I was on different families, and the one family I was on had a farm, and so they had one of these things when they first came out, and it was the coolest thing because, you know, everybody wanted them because they were just new, right? And being the foster kid, I always felt like an outsider. So I decided to try to impress this girl that I thought was really cute. I don't know, I was like 11 or something like that. I don't remember. Anyways, so I get on this thing, and I don't know how to ride it. I just sort of know the basics, right? And I'm trying to show off. It's in the wintertime. And I'd managed to figure out how to make it spin around on the one right rear wheel and just kind of spin around like a top. So I thought I'd show her this and try to impress her, and maybe she'd, like, hold my hand or something. Anyways, I do it, and she's watching. She's like, oh, yeah, that's great. And I, of course, tried to impress her more, and I pushed the envelope, and I ran over myself.
Dang.
Now, when I fell off and this thing ran over me, I stood up, and I was split from the back to the front completely, and all things were hanging out, and they were swollen the size of a watermelon. And I was looking really silly.
Oh, my God. That sounds terrible.
Well, guess what I never did again.
Yeah, I get that. But, you know, it's a shame.
The manufacturer that created those three-wheelers, the ones with the big tires?
Yep.
Do you know how many accidents they caused with that? Because,
a lot. But the thing is, there's many people that had them, had accidents, and said, hey, that's probably not too safe. Let's kind of put them aside.
Well, I always wondered what the heck was people thinking with pogo sticks. You know, when the pogo stick was invented, you know, people, you don't want to jump up and down on this thing, but then you got these people that decided they were going to jump up and down the stairs with these things.
That's awesome.
Sometimes it went well, and other times it didn't go so well. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, common
sense.
That's
why they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I guess that it was a life learning lesson. You know, but how many times?
Well, that's what I mean. That's what youth was for back then. You learned your lesson. You learned common sense through the application of it.
Absolutely. And the thing is, here's the overall problem. Even the people that try to legislate these things with good intentions, right? They try to be well intentioned, and we see this all the time today. The problem is, it's still a form of tyranny. You're taking away my right to choose. And even though it's with good intentions, let's remember, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you can't legislate common sense. Common sense is almost like your free will. It's something that you have to exercise personally, otherwise you're going to get hurt. One way or another, things are going to happen. You know, I understand.
Here's another example.
Go ahead.
Why do people in the States that go on these mass shooting sprees that everybody's so up in the air about, why do they do it only in gun-free zones?
Well, probably because there ain't nobody going to shoot back, you know? That's common sense.
It's common sense. It's common sense. If I'm going to go on a mass shooting spree, I'm going to go to the least likely place where somebody's going to defend themselves and shoot me back.
Well, that's why you got to question some of these people out there protesting everything. You know? It's like this. The Second Amendment wasn't put in the Constitution for, you know, your safety. The Second Amendment was put in there in case the government got out of control, you would be able to defend yourself against said tyrannical government. But, you know, that's not something that's taught anymore. They're like, well, no, guns are dangerous. Well, of course they're dangerous. Everything's dangerous. A pencil's dangerous. You know? Anything could be used as a weapon. It don't matter, because when you started banning guns on one side, you had, I can't get you with a gun because I can't legally own a gun. Well, criminals obviously ain't going to care, but nonetheless, the average Joe, if they're angry with you and they want to cause you harm, you know, not only is the body a weapon, but, you know, everything around you. They'll bring a club. They'll bring a knife. So, you know, that's why I say you can't legislate common sense. You can't do it.
Well, here, here's the deal. Is that in gun control, they say that if we put more laws tests on the people, people will be safer with guns. But they fail for some reason, they fail to see that law-abiding people who have guns and respect the use of guns aren't the problem. It's the people who are in control of these guns that are doing these mass shootings. And that gun, you know, a guy had a picture. He showed his AR whatever in a corner, and he took a picture, and the caption read, I have placed my gun in the corner, and I have left alone, and it has yet to get up and go shoot somebody.
Yeah. Hey, we're getting a lot of feedback.
Right?
Whenever
you that's the whole thing is...
Hold on a second. We're getting a lot of feedback. Could you mute your mic there for us whenever... yeah, thanks. Okay, go ahead, Patty. Sorry about that.
Okay, but you know, this is the common sense that's missing. Our society doesn't have it. The government doesn't have it. The legislature doesn't have it. And the motives behind it are the reason they want our guns. But the simple fact is the people who are rallying behind this take everybody's guns because the guns are bad. It's absurd. It's moronic because it's the people. If the people are unstable, if the people are criminal elements, those laws mean nothing to them.
Well, yeah.
The gun isn't responsible. It's the people. Yet, we have laws that are continually causing us, the people who are law-abiding, not to be able to defend ourselves if we need to.
Yep.
There are gun-free zones like you're talking about. The reason for that is because they don't want anybody going in there and shooting up anybody. Excuse me. That's exactly what's happening because nobody else is.
Well, they say that...
you can't go off and do that and get away with it.
They say that locks are only there to keep out the honest people. And I think that makes a lot of sense because if you're a crook and you know how to pick a lock and you want to burglarize somebody's house, chances are you're going to pick the lock or you're going to burglarize somebody's house. And common sense dictates if you ain't got no way to defend yourself against said burglar who might be a lot bigger than you or whatever, you know, that might not go so well. So I'm just wondering how it is that we're going to be able to change the mindset of society. I know it ain't my task to change the world per se, but maybe if I throw a little bit of common sense on the table, somebody might, you know, learn a little bit of something from it. I mean, like what I mentioned when I very first started on there about socks. Something simple as changing your socks. All right, a lot of people don't think about socks. But socks, even as simple of a message as it is, socks can tell you things. For example, if you can tell what foot your sock was on last, it's time to change your socks. You see what I mean? Come on. If you could stand your socks up in the corner and they look like a pair of boots, it's really time to change your socks. And that's it. It's that simple, you know. It's, you know, in my mind, it's simple, you know, but even myself, is educated as I might like to think I am and as intelligent as I might want to think myself to be, if you read out some of these questions that people, they call them trick questions or whatever, that the answer is actually most generally always in the question itself, and you're not really attention to detail or not focused on what it is that you're listening to, you're not going to get it right. There's like 88% people, is what, according to this one deal, fail the common sense test because they'll ask them, you know, crazy stuff like where do you bury the survivors or whatever. Why it's is it legal to bury a man who lives in one state in another state? Well, if he's alive, it's not legal to bury him. That's, you know, not right. you see what I'm trying to point out here? I'm just trying to figure out what it's going to take because I don't want my future generation to have to live in a a mirror image of the video, the movie Idiocracy, you know, where they's and nobody around has any brains anymore. You know, some of which is basically a self-fulfilled prophecy to some extent. Whenever you talk about, like, for example, the calculator. When the calculator came on the scene, that took away a lot of people's math skills because it's like lazy. Why would I need to learn math? All I got to do is have this nifty calculator here, and it'll do the math for me. Well, we get into using all this technology, and people aren't used to being able to do things for themselves. What happens the day the doggone calculator battery runs out, and you got to figure up your math? You don't know how to do it. That's the point I was trying to get to about this whole common sense thing. If you're going to send yourself through the public indoctrination centers, or your kids through the public indoctrination centers, at least go have enough common sense to check out that school and find out what the curriculum is. What are they teaching your children there? How many parents actually get proactive in their children's school to see what they're being taught? I mean, seriously, if you take, Patty, if you take the doggone school books from when you were going to school and when I was going to school, and you match them up to modern day science books, you're going to notice some serious discrepancies. The same thing with the history books. Yeah. You're going to find out there's things that they don't teach in history because they might be offensive to somebody else instead. Never mind the fact that this is what actually happened in history. You know, you're going to teach something different so you don't hurt somebody's feelings. Or, you know, tell people you can't do this or you can't do that because you might hurt someone's feelings, which is sad. But, look, the fact is like... Oh, what's his name on here again? Sorry, I forgot your name again. Doggone it. Well, he was
Gary.
Saying, Gary, sorry
just,
about that.
Just call me Billy.
All right, Billy, how's it going? Anyway, I have this remembering people's names issue. But nonetheless, earlier he was saying, you got to actually get out there and learn, you know, the hard way. There are certain things that you just don't want to go up to people and say. Number one, because it's rude, it's not polite. And they might get offended, and for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So if I go up there and I use my freedom of speech to say something nasty to somebody, they might not appreciate it, and they might poke me on the chin or bop me in the nose or something like that. So common sense says I'd like to probably proceed with my conversation with individuals in a respectful manner so that they're not wanting to get violent. You know? But
and that used to be the standard in life. And
yeah.
And since we removed it, you see the results.
Yeah. Now,
so the proof's in the pudding.
There you go. That's the whole situation all in a nutshell. If you don't allow people to learn things, and there is some guidance to it. You do have to, as an adult, try to tell your children, don't play with fire for obvious reasons. But, you know, you take them out there, you teach them about the fire. Look, this stuff is hot. You see it cooks this hot dog, and you don't want your finger looking like that. So it's really good idea to be really cautious with this. You know, when you're out there and you're camping and you make your campfire, make sure you put it completely out before you leave. Otherwise, you might possibly burn down the forest. You know, that kind of guidance is what I'm talking about. But when you talk about government guidance, painting with a wide brush, everyone in the world is now stupid. Everyone in the world is now not safe. So you can't own a gun. You can't have anything sharp because you might potentially hurt each other. Well, then there goes your rights down the drain, so to speak. And with that said, future generations ain't going to know the dangers that we had to face. They're not going to be able to, you know, the guy can't change his tire on his car, for Pete's sake. What happens when his tire breaks down? And he ain't got no cell phone. Can't call the doggone tow truck. You're going to have to walk somewhere. You're going to have to get a tire, come back, and put it on the car. Or if you don't know how to put it on the car, you're going to have to recruit somebody to put it on the car. Does any of what I'm saying make any sense, or have I lost my common sense?
Well, you know, when you have small children and you're raising them, they say you can't, don't you get onto your kids or anything, they're too young, you know, let them experience life. Well, when I was young and I did something that was wrong, my mom got onto me. There was a cause and an effect. If I do this, it's going to get me in trouble, or my mom's going to spank my butt. So therefore, and you follow that lesson throughout life by experience, you know.
Yeah.
If I go sliding on ice in a mud puddle, that ice is gonna break and I'm gonna get all wet and be cold, cause and effect. If I stick my finger in the fire, it's going to burn me and I'm gonna get hurt, cause and effect. We don't have that. It's not taught. We're brought up in a world now that has bumper rails on our being, you know, to protect us from all of this stuff so that we don't ever experience it. So if we don't learn cause and effect as a child, we're not going to worry about it as we get older. And then when the effect of what we did comes back to visit us, we're going to blame it on the hot coffee, the person who poured the hot coffee, or the person who did whatever that caused, you know, us to get harmed, so to speak.
Well,
that's where we are today.
Yeah, let me point something out. You know, look, I think it's a wise thing to always take precautions and have things in place that's going to protect you. But I saw the writing on the wall before it ever even came to pass. There was a day in the state that I live in that you didn't have to have auto insurance. And I remember those days back then. Everybody drove cautiously because they knew
that
they didn't have auto insurance. And if they got into a wreck, they could quite literally lose everything. They'd get sued clear to the hilt, and they didn't want to hurt nobody to begin with. But if they was to accidentally get into an accident and didn't have auto insurance, that they could probably, end up losing it all. Well, when the government decided to mandate auto insurance, you started noticing a difference in the way that people drove. I mean, it's like they didn't care anymore. Hey, I know everybody's got to have auto insurance. If I get in a crash, I'm getting paid. Well, you might get paid, but you might walk a little funny or look different than you did before, and things might not work out as well. So even though you are mandated to have auto insurance, common sense dictates you might want to drive cautiously, you know, for multiple reasons. But it wasn't the case, because I watched a completely different, I bet if you actually went back and looked at the stats before auto insurance was mandated as opposed to now being mandated, that I bet there was a lot less wrecks back then, because people knew that their neck was on the line, literally, financially and physically. You see what I'm saying? But, hey, it's just my
perception.
Yeah,
you bore the responsibility of your actions.
Yeah.
Yeah, cause and effect.
Well, I think that common sense has left the building like Elvis. You know, I shouldn't have to say something about somebody's socks. The people should already know that. You know, some people might not care. I mean, I think that for those particular individuals, if you wanted to be an entrepreneur, you could start your own service selling biodegradable socks. Hey, just wear them until they rot off, you know? You don't even have to worry about changing your socks. You'll know when it's time. As soon as they fall off your feet, change your socks. What do you think?
I think we'll be seeing that next year in manufacturing.
Well, I don't know. I just know that we can discuss and debate till we're blue in the face, and you can make people aware of the realities of life. But in the end, again, the proof is in the pudding.
Yep.
We see the direct results from removing these kinds of common sense things from life. From parents actually parenting. And that's not all just the parents' fault. A lot of legislation has come into play to disallow parents from being parents. You just can't parent anymore legally because, you know, you can be held accountable and charged for that. Have your kids removed for that. Your life ruined for that. People need to simply understand that the government has no business being in your personal life, in your family life, unless you are abusing those kids you are bringing into the world.
Yeah,
but it's the onus of the parent to raise the kid properly and give him the tools to become a successful participant in society. He can't do that if he's sheltered and bubbled from literally everything in life. He needs to know, you don't put your hand on the stove when it's on because you'll burn yourself and it'll hurt. It'll make your day bad.
Yeah.
And you let the kid do it. And you say, I told you. This is why I told you. That builds a bond between the kid and the parent. Oh, my parent, my mom said this. And I did it anyways. And she was right. I better listen to my mom. She's smart.
Yep.
Instead, you have kids cussing at their parents.
Yeah, that's something I can't tolerate there. You know, I was raised a lot different than that.
This has a big chunk to do with what we're talking about right now. Yeah. We've removed the parent's ability to parent. And now you have those kids who grew up in that era who are now in society controlling things, participating.
My mom used to tell me that you teach people how to treat you. Right? And that makes a lot of sense. You know, society, I don't allow cursing on ShazizRadio.com. I don't do that because I'm trying to censor people. I do that because I'm trying to be respectful to people. Because it's like this. You get into a crowd of people, and they're all a bunch of foul-mouthed heathens. You're going to find yourself blending in with the crowd being a foul-mouthed heathen unless you can actually, you know, focus your mind and you're like, that's not the what road I want to go down, so I'm not going to participate. And, you know, you can walk away from a situation like that. You know, But
that's giving choice back where it belongs, to you, the individual.
Yeah. But, you know, when it comes down to the way that society is, there should be some responsibility on media outlets that do certain things, because certain things have become a norm. There's things that they say on radio now that were not acceptable back in the day, you know, and there was a reason why that, because it might be granny or children listening or something like that, and we tried to raise people up back in that day, you know, at least with some, you know, decency and some common sense. But nowadays, people, instead of actually looking in to facts, they absorb the facts that they get from the media. They take it to heart as if it's the truth. Why, they wouldn't say it on TV if it wasn't true. Really? that's where the whole propaganda thing came in. But between the way that society has allowed you know, people to be pampered, you know, politically correct wording and all that kind of stuff, there was a time when you did it just because out of respect for one another. But now the government wants to legislate everything you do, everything you say, all for the best of the whole or better for everybody. And I think that for the most part, the doggone governments ain't got no common sense. People ain't learning anything anymore. They're not learning the hard way. They're not, you know, they're out there doing stupid things. You know, and for whatever reason, like we mentioned, that guy that shot himself in the face with a doggone Roman candle. What was he thinking? Seriously. I mean, anybody knows anything about any kind of basic science would have known that that wasn't going to end well. And yet he had friends that were standing around videotaping as he done it so that they could post it on YouTube. Look. Sometimes you gotta look out, all the times you gotta look out for yourself. But sometimes you gotta look out for others. I mean, if you see a friend that's getting ready to do that, and you say, if you're bound and determined you're going to shoot yourself in the face with a Roman candle, I'm not gonna be any part of it. When you get hurt, you're on your own. Then walk away. That's what we would have done back in the day. What do you think, Patty?
Now, I think I better find my mute button and unmute. well, I think that what we're looking at today is manufactured for a purpose. You can't be a nanny state while your people are able to think for themselves and to use common sense. Why would you think that people who were aware of look at us. We have common sense because we were raised that way. We look at what's happening and we see where it's going wrong at. But the young, the people that are being brought up now today, they don't see that. They grew up in a system that takes care of them from the time they're born until the time they pass. The system is there to take care of them and has implemented all of these safety nets and everything to catch them when they fall. So there's no reason for that. Look at your cell phone. you have a green button to accept a call and a red button to hang up the call. On Skype, you have an icon of a microphone, an icon of a camera, and your green button and your red button. Everything's explained for you right there. It's just a picture. All you got to do is pick the right one. It's simple. Our mentality has been brought down to select the correct icon. You know, there's no thought implied there or anything. They showed a video of three teenagers in a room with a rotary dial phone, and they could not figure out how to make a call on that rotary dial phone. That is problem solving that is so elementary, but they could not figure it out because the way that our technology is today and the way it's delivered to us, it requires no thought. No thought whatsoever. Just press the button and it's there. It's done. So we live in a society that directly opposite of common sense. So us adults right now, we grew up in the era where we learned common sense. We look at the world today and we see they're not allowing the children to learn common sense. What are we doing about it?
I don't know.
What are we doing about it?
I don't know, but I think that, you know, time has consequences. When you start making messes in the world and you start allowing certain things, time has consequences. If you don't get something under control, like the one guy at Barney Fife, he used to talk about, nip it in the bud, you know, stop it before it even starts, that kind of thing. Best time to stop a war is before it ever even begins, you know, and all these individuals that are going out there to college, you know, that done been through the grade schools, elementaries, all the way up to the junior highs and the high schools, they pretty much got in their mind what they're going to be before they get to college. And then once they get to college, there's yet even more, you know, indoctrination or agenda setting that goes on in colleges. And whatever happened to not trying to politically change kids' mind while they're going to school, but to teach them actual things like math and science and mechanics and physics and all this kind of stuff. I mean, real education, not this craziness that you see. This agenda, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings so you can't wear a certain shirt. That's sending a kid home for wearing a American flag on Cinco de Mayo Day. I mean, you're living in the United States. I'm sorry if this is offensive to kids that want to celebrate Cinco de Mayo or whatever, but this is the United States. That child has a right to wear that American flag because this is his home country. If you want to celebrate Cinco de Mayo in the United States, that's your choice. But if you want to celebrate that same holiday for a different country, then maybe you might want to just go to that different country or not try to force your hurtful feelings on somebody else just because they're celebrating their country at the same time you're celebrating your country. Does that make any sense what I'm saying? I mean, seriously.
But again, it boils down to, it boils down to the fact that we, the societies of today, are being groomed so that we will not have an opinion. We will not have an ideal. We will not have an ideology outside of the collective. And in order to do that, in order for a government to maintain that control, they have to start with the young. They have to put in these programs and these laws that prevent the parents, because like you said, we teach our young.
Yep.
We teach our young because we were brought up in that era. But the children that are being brought up, the grandchildren, are coming up under a different set of rules. Those rules are being governed by the state, not by the parents. And that's not an accident.
it's not, I mean, there is truth in what you're saying, Patty, but it's more than that. It's not just the state that's trying to implement this. It's this idea today of self-entitlement. And it's the idea that it's being pushed by the left to say, your rights end where my rights begin. But people forget that along with those rights come responsibilities. And that's what's not being taught. And that is by design, absolutely, for various reasons. But the point is that people have to understand everybody has the right to do the things they want to do. Go ahead and celebrate Cinco de Mayo in America, you know? But you cannot stop somebody else from celebrating their beliefs in America because your rights don't begin where mine end, period.
You know, a long time ago, I can't remember what the heck they call it. Somebody help refresh my memory. But they divided the entire world up into three different sections. One would be the Americas, the Asian section, and the European section, where, like, all of Canada, all of the United States, and all of Mexico would be one big old section. Does anybody remember what the actual name of that deal that was done a long time ago? I don't remember. But either way, way before there was ever a border crisis down on the southern border of Mexico, or even Canada for that matter, way before there was ever a border crisis, they were talking about the European Union, the American Union, and the Asian Union, all this, dividing these things up, basically making this all one borderless state. Basically joining Mexico, America, and Canada.
North American Union.
Yeah, that's what it was. And when the conspiracy, so-called conspiracy theorists were talking about it, you know, they were called tinfoil hat wearing nutcases, talking about there was this one world government that was trying to be formed and all that kind of stuff. But if you notice, way before there was ever a real border crisis thing going on, they had already been implementing in the stores. They had been putting multiple languages on all different types of products and putting signs up, it written in Spanish for the different restrooms and all the different things. So it was as if before they ever even started implementing all that, before they ever even got public opinion on board, or, you know, even put it to a vote per se, that they had already decided that this was how they were going to do. They were going to merge all these societies together. And even when you talk about these things where there were, refugee crises, a lot of which I think were basically guided, planned refugee crises, to essentially flood, you know, certain countries or whatever with different immigrants, knowing right out of the gate that these different cultures weren't going to mesh well. They're not coming to the United States to basically become Americans per se, but they might become the United States with their own personal beliefs that maybe not be the same things that we're accustomed to. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Well, let me tell you this. I saw something the other day that was really right out there, and what it was we have all this massive caravan that's heading for the U.S. Mexican border from Venezuela and Honduras. And they're coming here because Venezuela has been under socialist rule, and the people are starving. They are starving under this whatever his name is in Yugoslavia, and so they're being told that if they come to the U.S. they'll be allowed in. These people are coming in mass. Nobody, everybody's worrying, and they're saying, wait, we can't have all this immigration, we can't have all da-da-da-da-da. But nobody's saying what I think is the most important thing, the common sense of it, is that if you have people that are wanting to leave their countries in mass because of the way the governments are running it, why are we allowing the governments to continue without the people of that country rising up and saying, we're not going to do this anymore? You know, why shouldn't we fix what's wrong with the countries? Why shouldn't we go in there if they want our help? Or either the people stand up and say, we want to change, and make that country better for the people.
Nothing is going to get cured
as long as these governments are allowed to do this, right?
Yeah.
That was the whole point of foreign policy. Originally, in its original inception, it was to help, not dominate, but it turned into the domination specific. But with that, I totally agree with what Patty just said. I have to apologize, folks. I didn't mean to cut in like that, but I've got a puppy emergency. One of my dogs just had puppies, and I got to go deal with that. So I want to thank you for having me on again, and wish you guys a good day. And yeah, absolutely, it's all about common sense that needs to come back. So yep. With that, I bid you a good day.
You take care.
Love you, Gary. Have a good day.
Bye.
So, we've been joined by Barry. You got any common sense, Barry?
Hey, Barry.
Good morning. You know what? I don't know if I have common sense or not, but what I see going on in the world is insanity. So, you know, I grew up in a world where everything I learned was by mistake. And everything I've learned in my life has been by mistakes. And we're not allowed to make mistakes anymore. Because that's the government's job, man. Come on.
Well,
we see a world now that's just being funneled into a herd mentality. And we're taught what to say. We're taught how to think. We're told what we can do and what we can't do to protect ourselves and to be safe. Or, you know, you say something wrong to your neighbor and you can go to jail. I mean, it's crazy. And it's getting crazier. But it's all by design. We all know that. It's all a master plan. And it's been going on for a long time now, and now we're starting to see it really have its effect on society. Everything I think you see going on right now is been thought about in think tanks years and years and years ago, how to get society to a point where we're turning out pretzels in our universities, where kids cannot think for themselves anymore. They depend on their computers and their cell phones to guide them in their lives. We're in a lot of trouble, and we got to get away from that. Better sit down at the kitchen table and talk face-to-face. Sit down in a coffee shop and talk face-to-face. I go to coffee shops, and I see people sitting at a table, and instead of talking to each other, they're playing on their phones.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm just waking up, so I don't know if that made any sense or not, but my brain is just starting to wake up.
Well, it makes perfect sense. If you're sitting on a couch, why don't you just say hi to somebody instead of texting them? You know, I said common sense went out the window the day the brass knuckles and or pogo stick was invented, because it just don't make no sense. Put those two together and, you know, you got a problem. Number one, pogo stick takes two hands to hang on to. So if you got brass knuckles on one, that's actually in a video game, by the way. But that's neither here nor there. Either way, you know, there was a lot of toys back in the day that just didn't make no sense to be given to kids. You know, remember the one about the Red Ryder BB gun there, Patty? You gonna put your eye out?
You'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
And at the end of the movie, close to the end of the movie, he fires and it ricochets and hits his glasses.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That was a hard lesson in life, but, you know, somebody would have taught him safety to begin with. He'd been really more precautious about it, or cautious, whatever. The thing is that, you know, we don't teach our kids things like that anymore. We don't, well, mostly the families are getting to the point where guns is taboo. If you talk about guns, you know, oh no, guns are terrible. Guns kill people. No, people kill people. It's people that are doing stupid things. Heck, for a lot of times, people are doing stupid things when they end up getting hurt, like playing Pokemon Go and walking off a cliff. Who does that? What were you thinking? Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to get rid of hammers, too, because hammers kill people. And cars.
Well, when
cars. Because cars kill people.
When I was a kid, you know, when I was like 8 or 9 years old, and my dad would be going out hunting, you know, to get rabbit or squirrel or something, I had my BB gun, and I took it with me, and I went hunting with him, you know. And then when I got to be 13, I got my first .22 rifle. and I was like, I'm in the big time now, you know? And I had respect for that .22 rifle because I had already been shot by BBs, you know? So I knew how they felt, and I figured, well, that's really going to hurt, you know? So it never occurred to me to use that .22 for anything other than to, we shot bottles and stuff like that, but to go hunting with it. I had respect for it because my dad taught me, you know, when we came home from hunting, I would sit there and I would watch him as he cleaned whatever, you know, the rabbit or whatever, and then I would watch him as he sat down and he took care to clean his gun. And he would explain to me what he was doing and why, right? So I grew up with that respect for a firearm. And it never occurred to me at any time to be irresponsible because I had already experienced what it's like to be irresponsible with a BB gun. And this is what is lacking for us today. There is no more education in the home. There is no more, we don't respect our parents, the kids today, because the parents aren't teaching their children to respect them. And the reason being is because the parents feel inadequate to the task anymore. There's no communication between kids and parents anymore. There's no communication between the school and the parents anymore. Most parents, they go to the little, you know, the meetings that you get once every 6 months, the parent-teacher conferences. You have 10 minutes to sit there, and the teacher tells you how your kid's doing, and you say, okay, thank you, and you go home. You know, if they have bad grades, the teacher says, oh, it's okay, they're just learning at their speed. When I came home from school and I didn't have good grades, my mom sat me down and said, okay, for now until I decide, you're going to do this work when you get home, regardless of what homework you got from school. You're going to learn the subject. My grandson, he was having issues with social studies, did not want to have anything to do with it, and he was getting lower grades. And the teachers were like, oh, he'll catch up. We'll put him in a special class if we have to. Da, 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 da. Well, when he came home, I would say, okay, before you can do anything, do you have any homework? No? Okay, here's your homework, social studies. You know, and I told him, this is what you're going to do every day until your grades come up. His grades came up. They came up. But if there's nobody at home to structure your child's education and you allow the school to teach your child everything that they're going to learn, then you're going to come away with a child that is mediocre, that cannot function in a lot of the skills that are needed in today's society. The only thing that they will be good at is playing computer games, you know? This is what's happening today, and it's incrementally being increased, where the parents are so busy now, they have to work, they're so tired when they get home, and then you have the extracurricular activities with the children, because if you don't, then you're a bad parent, if you don't have your child in this or that or that or this. And there's no home structure anymore. When you were brought up, when I was brought up and we came home from school, our parents were there and they were interested. They wanted to know how well we were doing. They wanted, and we had chores. I mean, when you came home and you did your homework, then you had to get up and do your chores. Kids don't have to do that anymore. Kids know.
Tell me it's not by design. Tell me it's not by design. Of course it is. You break down the family unit in any society, and we've said this many, many times before, but if you break down the core of the family in a society, that society will fall apart.
Yep.
And that's what we see happening right now. And everything we see going on in our families is all an orchestrated attack. I mean, my God, we've got drag queens going to public libraries and putting on displays in front of 6 and 7 and 5 year old children. What the heck is going on, folks?
Well, I don't know.
Why aren't parents in there screaming at the top of their lungs that I ain't going to put up with this crap. Get this guy out of here. He's no part in my child's life. Why would you want to push this agenda down my child's throat? Well, of course, it's to absolutely destroy their minds, man. Destroy their moral base. Destroy everything that is good in life is taken out of a child at a very young age when they're the most impressionable time of their life.
Well, the question I have about that is, why are there full-grown adults standing there thinking this is all right? It's not all right. Look,
why is an adult male in nude posed with an 11-year-old drag queen? Why is that allowed to go on in our society now? That is absolute insanity. Yet the left says nothing about it. Nothing.
Well,
of course, part of an agenda.
Well, that's like my 5-year-old granddaughter. When she was in kindergarten, you know, and she came home, she was twerking. You know what that is?
Yeah, that's nasty.
I came unglued. Now, my daughter-in-law thought it was cute. You know, she thought that was adorable. I came unglued. And I told her, I said, why would you think that would be appealing? I said, who do you think that will appeal to? If she's out there in public doing that, who do you think is going to be paying attention to that? And is that the attention that you want your daughter to get? You know? It's crazy, but it's acceptable today.
Not only that, if you actually pay attention to the toys that they actually have on market these days, some of these toys are disgusting. Like, there's one that they call the Poopmoji. It's a little stuffed doll that, you know, looks like what I just said. It's disgusting. But a lot of the toys, they're based off of, like, death or zombies or monsters or, you know, violence or whatever like that. You know, in one sense, as crazy as this may sound, you ever heard the Benny Hill theme song? Kind of like that. Anyway, that Benny Hill theme song and banjo music just seems to play in my ears as I'm watching people in public these days. It's like, it's almost comedic. It's so unreal. I'm at a loss a lot of times when I see what people think is okay or just norm or whatever, you know. Not to mention the fact that they don't even realize half the time that most people, their bodies are sick. They've been eating junk food and trash and sitting around and playing video games while their life has passed them away. And then we wonder why there are so many people out there that don't have a real life education and they can actually change a tire on a car at the age of 18 to 20 or even 30 for that matter. Barry, do you
know? I want to say real quick, though, you know, I don't have anything against video games. I'm a video game player myself. I enjoy video games. And I don't think that children should be banned from video games or being allowed to play video games. The thing of it is that what's missing is structure. What's missing is common sense. What's missing is to have these children also interested in things outside of the machine. And we're not doing that anymore. We let the machines babysit our children, and then we say, oh my gosh, what's wrong with the kids today? You know?
Well, I had to get away from video games because I found them to be addicting, you know? They were fun, you know, and you play these games for hours and hours and hours, and then it gets into days, and the next thing you know, you wasted a lot of your life with your nose in an alternate reality, you know, and a lot of folks don't think about that when they put it down in front of their children. Am I wrong?
Well, that's what you do. You give a time limit, you know, like Connor. Connor, you can play that game for an hour, and then you're done, right?
Yeah.
And that's structure at home. That's teaching them that there are limits to what you should be doing, and there are other things beside this that you should be interested in. But that's not done anymore because the parents, like I said, incrementally they introduce these things into our lives and we don't see the big picture because it's all done one step at a time, like you were talking about, they started a long time ago, separating families, separating the household, separating and creating that division between the parents and the children. When they started having this, remember, what was it called, where latchkey kids, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Where your kid, if you were working, then the neighborhood, let's pick a house for latchkeys, and they can go to that house and be safe until you get home. Well, what did they do at that house? You know, they were running rampant. They were doing whatever they wanted to do. And when you got home from work, you were tired. They came home. You ate dinner. You went, lay down for a while or whatever, and they sat in front of the TV, you know?
Yep.
Nobody was teaching those children.
And
incrementally, they've done it. They add these little things that get in the way of your parenting, but because it was just this one little thing, oh, it's okay. And it relieves me, you know? I've got somewhere where my kid can go, and they're all right, so no problem there.
You know, I raised my children by myself, and I gotta admit, you know, back then, if I gave my boy a video game, he'd be quiet, he'd play, and it was just kind of, okay, great, you know, I don't have to be a parent. I look back and I go, boy, Barry, were you ever wrong? Because now my boy, at 27 years old, a grown man, has a daughter, spends a vast majority of his time playing absolutely stupid video games. I know adults that get up in the morning and play video games all day long and go to bed at night. And I just, to me, video games are the biggest scourge that's ever been brought into society. When I was a child growing up, we didn't have video games. We went out and we made our video games, man. We went out and played cops and robbers and cowboys and Indians. And we used to chase the girls. We used to go find snakes and chase the girls. We looked for trouble to get into because we were boys. And we were doing what boys are supposed to do. And sure, we did some crazy things when I was young, but it all made you what you are today. I mean, you can't take that out of somebody's life, and we have. And now I see, you talk about an hour limit, Patty. Well, what do you think these children are going to do if they're left alone and their parents aren't home and there's four or five of them sitting in a house? What are they going to do? The first thing they're going to do is get on that tube and play a game. Well, that's wrong, guys. They should be outside making their own games. And that's been taken away, and it is really starting to show its effect in society now.
Yep. That's the whole thing.
That's what I see it. I think it's the biggest scourge that's ever been brought into the human race. Period. I played them when I was younger, and I know how addictive they are. I haven't played a video game now in probably 15 years. I've put them down because I see the waste of time, and I see how they have no real life consequences, how they distract people, how they allow people to escape the reality of the world and get into their virtual little world, and everything's fine. I can talk to my buddy across the ocean here, and we can play tanks, or we can do this, or we can do that. But there is no real life lessons to be learned from video games, period.
Well, here's another point that was brought up. Jeremy is sitting right here, and we were talking. And what we were saying was that you have a child in a couple of states now that if your child at 7 or 8 years old decides that they want to change a sex, that the parents, if they don't allow it, they can have their children taken away.
You have a child
at 7 years old who can make this decision, but they can't drink alcohol until they're 18 or vote,
or join the military
or gamble or anything, but they can change their sex at 7. You know, this is what I'm saying. It's our system is warped. It is to the nth degree, and nobody's, you know, nobody's standing up saying, hey, wait a minute, you don't have a right to take my child because I don't want them to have their sex changed at 7 years old.
They shouldn't be introducing that to kids that young anyway. That's the whole entire deal about that. So there ain't no common sense when it comes down to that. What's going to take to get this world to actually start utilizing something that seems to be a lost art which is common sense. That's the whole thing. We sit by and we watch our society fall on its face, and we're getting used to all these luxuries of life as far as here, in the States. I'm sure in Canada and other places the same thing, that we get used to all these luxuries. The day the lights go off, nobody knows how to do anything. The day that the water stops flowing, nobody knows how to do anything. I say nobody. I'm painting with a wide brush because most of society have no idea about gardening or hunting or any of the skills that we got when we were growing up. So, if they're not teaching that in school and they're not teaching real science in school, what's left? You're reliant on the system. You're reliant on, people to take care of you. You see where I'm trying to get here? I don't know how to fix it outside of, hopefully, putting a message out there that people, can resonate with it. It'll turn a light bulb on in their head. What do y'all think? But don't everybody jump to the microphone at once.
Where'd you go, Barry?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Betty. I'll be just with you in a second here.
We gotta
come to the conclusion, guys. And if you'd have said this to me years ago, I'd have told you were crazy. But all elites, it seems like, are involved in pedophilia. Anybody that's at the upper echelons of the elite system are involved in pedophilia. And more of this is coming out all the time. So, of course, we're going to be seeing this being brought into our school systems, being brought into our education systems, the core programs in the state. I've looked at those. They're absolutely appalling. We're not turning out educated people anymore. We're turning out...
automatons.
Here, herd mentality. This is what you're going to do, this is how you're going to act, this is what you're going to do, this is how you're going to think, and anything outside of that is not accepted in normal society. Well, normal society has been turned upside down.
What incentive do children have today to excel? What incentive do they have, what motivation do they have to acquire knowledge, to expand their world? There are no incentives. There are no motivations. In fact, they have made sure that they have taken away the one thing that promotes that ability in children, and that is everybody is the same now. There are no losers.
And
there are no winners. And everybody says, well, that's good because the poor little kid here can... Well, that poor little kid who can't do that is going to, if he can't do it, and they tell him, well, you're not doing real well, he's going to find something else. I did as a kid. You did as a kid. You lost. You got the short end of the deal. And then you got where you did something that was really great, and you got the applause, and you got the attention. And the grade for it, and it made you feel like, okay, I can do more. I succeeded. There was self-worth there. There was the ability to say, I can. Children today don't have that. It's like, I don't have to try because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm going to pass anyway.
I'm going to be with the big group anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, and henceforth, what are we turning out of university? We're turning out pretzels.
Everyone gets a trophy.
You look at the world scholastic standings and where we've fallen in the last 15, 20 years in world scholastic standings. And that should speak volumes for what's going on in our systems.
Everyone gets a trophy.
Yeah, no child is left behind. What a stupid concept, man. So you've got an IQ of 25, and this other child in the classroom's got an IQ of 134, and you're both going to be passed on the same level?
Well, we know the problems, but how are we going to fix them? That's the thing. That is the thing. I'm just trying to empower people to actually think for themselves, to understand that there are options available. If you don't want your children being taught certain things, then maybe you ought to be really proactive in your communities. That's the whole key. You know, we can't mistrust
others. We need to bring back cause and effect.
Yep.
We need to bring back cause and effect.
That's the whole deal right there. You know, people don't realize there's any repercussions anymore. Like the guy that shot himself in the face with a bottle rocket. Or not a bottle rocket, a Roman candle. I mean, you've seen Roman candles go off. Does that look like something you should aim at your face? And it probably even has a label on it. Probably even has a warning label. You know, aim away from your face. But we're living in a society where people think that it's okay to do certain things. It's all normal or funny or whatever. And, you know, some of what people think is pranks. I watched this one channel out there. I'm surprised this guy's either not in jail or dead, because he was actually doing pranks that weren't even pranks. They weren't even funny. I mean, he'd go out and get in somebody's car and drive it a little few feet away from where they were standing. These people didn't know who this guy was. And he's getting out of hollering, "Oh, it's a prank, it's a prank." "No, you just stole my doggone car." I mean, legally, that's exactly what he did. If you get in somebody's property and you move it so many inches away from where it was without their permission, you stole it. It's as simple as that. But there are people out there who think that certain things are funny for whatever purpose. I mean, Paul Harvey said it in 1965. This is what we're going to see here today. I mean, there's a book that said it too, but, you know, a lot of people don't like that either. But, you know, hey, you can't argue with facts. The facts is that society is going downhill, as going over the cliff in a grocery cart, as far as I'm concerned. And if we don't get control over it, if we don't start, at least on a home level and a personal level, trying to educate ourselves with real knowledge, we're going to fail. As a human species, or whatever you want to call us, humanity, or, you know, a big worldwide family, we're going to fail. You know, you don't have to see a bomb drop more than once to know that bombs are not discriminating. They don't care what color you are. They don't care what political ideology or religious view you got. Bombs don't care. They don't think. And when you drop a bomb on a foreign country, you have to understand that bomb is there to do one task. That's to destroy and kill and make a mess of things, which eventually is going to have to be cleaned up. So whatever you put in that bomb is eventually by somebody going to have to be cleaned up. They got these things that they call cluster bombs. Sometimes they don't all go off. And sometimes they get, like, launched way over into the weeds. And then years later, whenever nobody's even thinking about it, just like back during Vietnam and Korea and different wars like that, they put landmines out for whatever purpose. They're going to, you know, keep the enemy out of a certain area by putting landmines out, because it'll blow them up, you know. But years and years later, the chickens come home to roost, so to speak. You know, there were people that were innocent individuals, had nothing to do with any war, years down the line, stepped on that landmine and blew their leg off, or accidentally out metal detecting and dug up a bomb that hadn't went off yet. Still had all the stuff to make it blow up, but it hadn't gone off yet. And what about in the oceans, where they used to put all those anti-ship mines out there, some of which probably still floating around today? See, we don't think about these things. We don't use common sense prior to the engagement of said war. You know, they said one of these wars was the war to end all wars, and we're still talking about wars. We're actually still in wars. America's been in a perpetual war for so long, we're getting war weary. We as citizens are tired of it. We're trying to get politicians in there that are going to actually do their job, abide by the Constitution, and do what it is best for the people, such as getting us out of wars. You know, we don't want to be fighting with our neighbors across the world water. We got opportunity right now. We can talk to people worldwide on this thing we call the internet. The programs like Skype and the chat rooms and all of our radio networks, we can communicate with each other. And most generally, when we start talking to each other, we find out that we're not that much different, and that we like the same things. We love our families, we love each other, and we'd rather come over and have a barbecue with you than come over and fight with you, or send our children to kill yours. That's what real Americans are like. There are people out there that want to take what America is, distort it in every possible view, not only just to get the people who already don't like America hating us even worse, but the people who actually thought they liked America to hate us. And so we hating ourselves, we're hated by others, we're hating each other, we're going down political lines, we're going down color lines, we're going down religious lines, we're going down everything that they could do to possibly keep us divided, and at the same time send multiple refugees away from a war zone into a certain nation that might not have the same religious ideology or views or whatever. And they're coming here with the expectations to be able to keep the parts of their culture that they want and force everybody else to blend right in. You know, Sharia law. I'm not going to go under Sharia law. It's not my constitution. It's not my world. But that's one of the things that you hear about these days. Or, you know, the fact that a little American citizen who can be proud of his country at one part of history can't be proud of his country anymore, and during a Cinco de Mayo day he can't wear his American flag because it's offensive to the one with the Mexican flag. Well, come on, it's you know, what's going on here? And why are we even talking about this to begin with? Why?
What's going on is they are flooding us with the Sharia, with the influx of the drug lords and the sex traffickers from the North American continent and the Muslim immigrants from the European continent. And they're doing this for one specific reason and one specific reason only. The same reason that all these governments are moving in the same direction with their laws against the people. The same reason why there's an uprising in France, the yellow vest that is moving across the country. This is all manufactured because they cannot step in and say, hey, we're going to move you guys to a totally different global system because you can't all behave without having a reason for it. So when the people are so put upon, so beset with chaos, that they have no other option, they will look to this globalist union and say, we need to have one law. We need to get this all under control. Religions are out of control. Governments are out of control. The systems are out of control. The people are suffering. We need a solution. Yep. And this is where this is all moving to.
The destabilization.
Everything we're experiencing is just part of this incremental system set up to move us to the next pasture.
The destabilization of nations. That phrase is there for a reason. You know, the whole entire thing is, folks, look, I ain't hateful to anybody. It doesn't matter to me whether you're gay or Muslim or whatever it is you choose to do with your life. But common sense dictates if you put two cultures together, one of which might not believe in your culture or your way of life, and now you're like fighting to get all these people to be able to come here, which, you know, hey, we're immigrants. We're all immigrants. But nonetheless, when they do get here, and you still want to act the way that you do, are they going to be acceptable of you, and will that be acceptable to you to be able to change your lifestyle to suit their needs? This is the whole lack of common sense about what we see, and this is a designed attack against other people's cultures. I want every nation to be their own nation. I want Russia to be Russia and China to be China and so on down the line. I want, you know, Scotland to be Scotland and Ireland to be Ireland. I want everyone out there to be able to hold on to their cultures, their history, and be able to have that buffet, so to speak. If I go to Ireland, I want to experience Irish culture. I want to see what it's like, you know. I don't want to go to Ireland to make them Americans. If they want to come to America and become Americans, that's their choice. But I don't want to go there and try to change their culture. This is what gives us the vast, you know, like I said, the buffet of life. You know, but when you force two separate ideologies or two separate cultures together, and you got to expect that you're going to have problems. When you've got people coming from socialist nations expecting to be treated the same when they get here, such as one health care for all, everything's free, that kind of deal. Well, how well did it work in their nation is the question that you should be asking before you volunteer yourself to merge all these societies together. Maybe someday, in a perfect world, we can live in that utopia to where you don't need no borders, you don't need no guns, you don't need no weapons. You can still have them if you want, but there's nobody running around hurting each other, so there's no need. And in the forms of alternative energy, Stephen Gibbons posted a link in there about Lockheed Martin earlier that basically talks about a really impressive way to generate new energy. It's Lockheed Martin's compact fusion reactor might change humanity forever. We have inventions, innovations, genius working all over the world that could be potentially building things that would make this world great for everyone. You see what I'm trying to say here? But until we get down to a basic, something as simple as common sense, you're still going to have people shooting each other in the face with bottle rockets and BB guns and doggone bouncing up and down the stairs with pogo sticks. I guess maybe you can't. Some people say there is a cure for stupid, but I just don't see it yet. I haven't seen it been discovered. But common sense is a good start to curing stupid, I would think, if you utilize it. But it has to be an individual choice.
Well, what we need to do, it used to be, in my generation, we looked at the government with a cynical side. We didn't want them in our business.
You were supposed to.
We always were paying attention. Okay, today everybody wants them in their business. And so this is the result. What does that teach us? It teaches us that government will screw up your life faster than you can screw up your own life.
Yeah.
So the way I figure, and people who know me, I'm never going to say government's a good thing. I'm sorry. I don't care who's in charge. I don't care how good they're doing. In the end result, you're going to be on the bottom rung, and they're going to be up at the top, and you're going to be subservient to them. As long as we look to an authority to tell us what's right and wrong, how to act, how to live, what to buy, what to think, then we are screwed. The moment that we as a people, a race of beings on this planet, realize that we don't need to be told what is right and what is wrong, we can figure that out for ourselves. We had it figured out, and we put our checks and balances in place that created societies that were formed on these checks and balances called morals and ethics and values. We had that. It was intact. We did that in our own cultures, in our own little societies that we created. And we kept the governments at bay because we were strong and we were stood with each other and took care of each other. There was a community and someone was in need and they needed their house painted. You went and helped them paint it. If there was somebody who was ill and needed somebody to take care of them and didn't have children, the neighborhood took care of them. If someone didn't have food, if someone's house burnt down, the people were the ones who took care of them. Now we turn our backs and we look the other way and we say, the social services will take care of it. This is our downfall. This is where we stepped off the path. So we can step back on that path. We can. But we have to start with educating our young. We have to start with educating each other and turning toward each other for solutions instead of the all-encompassing authority.
Yep.
Just saying.
Well, you want to hear something scary? Do you realize that the majority of the people commit felonies here in the United States without even knowing they're committing felonies? Every single day, most of the people will do things that they don't even know is illegal because there's so many laws on the book. And, you know, there's really simple, if you look it up, there's a lot of them. But there's really simple things that you can do, you know, flushing your sister's marijuana down the toilet. It's a felony. Did you know that? Tampering with evidence. All right, there was a crime going on there, depending on which state you live in. But that's just a simple example. You have to go out there and look them up for your own, but there are lots and lots of laws on the books. And without even knowing it, you know, you could commit an environmental felony or whatever. You know, there's so many different ways that you could actually break the law and basically have your rights affected by it. But if you don't know that, if you're never taught that, they say ignorance is no excuse to the law, and that includes your kids. If your kids don't know their own rights, look how many times the people get arrested all the time because they give the officer the consent to search their vehicle when they probably shouldn't have to begin with, even if they weren't doing anything wrong. You see what I mean? Buy an old car and you haven't checked this car out. Whatever's in that car belongs to you. So if you bought a car, a used car, you've had it for about a week or two, you get pulled over, and you know you're a good guy or gal, and next thing you know, the officer says, do you mind if I search your vehicle? Oh, yeah, I ain't got nothing to hide. And they find something underneath there. Oh, that must have been here when I bought the car. Well, that don't fly. Guess what? You're in trouble. You see what I mean?
Well, if you look at the amount of laws that are created every year, and you figure that every year they create these new laws, just call up your Justice Department, call up the Federal Justice Department and ask them, how many federal laws are there on the books? And they can't tell you. They don't know. If you call up your state and you say, how many laws does the state have in act right now? They can't tell you. Because they have no clue as to how many laws are there. That's why these lawyers are quick, yeah. You know? They can go back through the archives and find something against you. Anybody, whether you think you've done something wrong or not. And most of the laws that are put against the people today are due to owing money to somebody or not paying a fine or things like this. Everything revolves around this monetary system,
yep,
that is set up in law.
So we got our work
and
cut out.
If you don't have the money, then you will pay the price.
Yep. We got our work cut out for us. Folks, it's that time again to go around the table. Look, you might have heard a few things that might have made you laugh, such as maybe the socks there, if you can tell what's foot your socks came off of yesterday, then you might want to change them. That's just one little simple thing there that's common sense. You know, I just want to wear fresh socks if you want to have good fresh feet. That's some people just got a problem, but nonetheless. Anyway, common sense go a long way. Don't stick your finger in the fire three times and then decide it hurts. You do it once, it hurt, then common sense dictates that you won't want to do it a second time. But we got to start on a simple level with ourselves and make sure we focus our common sense and keep ourselves safe. But it also, we need to transfer that knowledge on down to the youth of the nation before it's too late. You ain't going to be able to trust the governments of the world to teach you common sense or to keep you out of trouble, because they say ignorance is no excuse to the law. And they also say that it's all right for the news media to propagandize you. They can make up stories. Heck, even the government can make up stories and put it on the doggone news. And those same stories that they're telling you is going to make a decision for you in your mind whether or not you want to go send your children to war. Why would you do that? Common sense says know the facts before you get all riled up and want to send, you know, all your guns and ammunition overseas to risk your life, liberty, and your treasure. Maybe that next country over there might not be the same weak one you mopped before. It might be a tougher one. They might win the war. might not be a good idea. Either way, it used to be that you fought when you had to fight, not because you wanted somebody's resource or because somebody disagreed with you, whatever. Nonetheless, common sense, it needs to come back, and it needs to come back with the vengeance like now, like yesterday. Otherwise, people are going to continue to do what it is that they've been doing, and society's going to continue to deteriorate. The government's going to continue to get stronger and stronger until one day your children's going to wake up and they're going to say, Constitution, what is that? They ain't got no clue, man. I've talked to some kids out of high school.
That's today.
Yeah. Hey. And you ask them about the Constitution, they might be able to do the one about freedom of speech because they know that they can run around like foul-mouthed heathens and cuss out granny and give the law man the finger, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they don't know about different parts of the Constitution to give other people other types of freedoms and that your freedoms don't override anyone else's. They don't know all that. So it's up to all of us right now who do know all that to remind them of it. At least educate them of it. Give them that option on the table. You know, show them the things that the hard roads that we went down. You know, that's the only way to do this thing. I mean, world didn't get in this big of a mess overnight, and we're not going to fix it overnight. But if we don't start turning this ship around, some folks already believe it's too late. Some folks already think we've already went over the falls in a barrel. I'm liking to think that maybe we still got some hope left, and maybe we can still, you know, educate the youth and start working in harmony with nature and helping nature do what nature does best. You want a good teacher, you look at nature. You want some good people out there, then you need to raise them like they're going to be good people when they get older. You know, it was all right to hold a door open for a lady back in my day. She didn't get offended by it. She didn't think you was trying to mansplain her or anything like that. You were just being courteous. But we're living in a different world, a different time right now. So with that said, Patty, you want to go first?
Well, yeah, and it's never too late. As long as we are here talking about it, as long as there are people that are filling these chat rooms, like here at PFP, who are talking about it, then it's not too late. Because it has to start with us. Your government is not going to change. It's not going to change the way it does business. Your educational system is not going to change the way it teaches your children. It will not. It cannot. Because it was built this way. You cannot say the government is broken. The system is broken. It's never been broken. It was our perception that was broken. It is working perfectly the way it was meant to. So if you don't like this government, if you don't like this system, if you don't like this educational system, then the onus is on us. And the moment that we decide that it's over, that we're not going to go down this path anymore, it will stop. Yep. It will stop. But we have to do something other than talk about it.
That's it.
We have to get up en masse with each other, stand together and say, we've had enough. We will not support the system. We will not support the government because it's not going to produce anything worthy for your children or your grandchildren. It will not. It can't. It won't ever do it. And thinking that it will change if you have the right person in is a fallacy. It will never change. It's not meant to change. We are meant to change. And if we don't change, then we give our children this system, and then they give their children the system. And pretty soon, the system controls everything, and we and our ancestors look forward and see nothing but suffering. Nothing but suffering. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it hard. We can't continue supporting what is harming us. That's not common sense. We're sticking our hand in the fire continuously now. Yep. We need to stop the same.
Well, you know, Patty, they're going to the corporations, companies, the entertainment industry, and governments. If the people want to buy a poop emoji, they're going to continue to sell them. You know what I mean? That's what they're going to do. They're going to keep on selling it to your kids. It, you know, it's funny. It's cool. Oh, look. Uh-huh, that's hilarious. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. There's certain things that should be left in the bathroom. Flat out. You know what I mean? But regardless of all that, it's the same thing with your government. If you don't like it, then you need to get proactive.
Red says something in the chat. He said, they will kick your head in if you don't know who's in control. Yeah, they will.
But if 100 million of us stand up there while they're trying to kick our brains, but if 100 million people stand up against the folks that's trying to kick your brothers and sisters' head in because you will not comply, then they're going to think twice before they do it. Because, you know, that person on the other side of a badge, they're a human too. And regardless, they're following what they believe. They're following the law. They're just following orders. Well, there was a lot of terrible atrocities under the whole following orders thing. But the fact is, just like that doggone, and I'll probably play that too.
And the thing,
that ant, or that grasshopper talking about the ants. You know, when those ants realize that they outnumber us 100 to 1, our way of life changes. That's what I'm trying to say. But did you have something, Patty?
Well, here's the thing. I want to get this last thing in. If you think that if you stand up, they're going to kick your head in. What do you think they're going to do if you don't? What do you think they're going to do if you don't? They're going to take your life. They're going to take your decisions, your choices. They're going to rule you from the time you're born till the time you die. And you will never, ever experience life as you choose. You'll be beaten. You'll be kicked. You'll be whatever they decide. So what's the better thing to do? Stop it now or continue allowing them to hurt our children?
Where are we going with this? What's it worth to us?
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I get what they're saying, though. You know, it takes a lot of courage to stand up to things that are wrong in this world. But there's a sticker that's been around for many, many years, and it said, slave from birth to grave. And I didn't get it until I got older and I started looking into things. But the way that society and the system's set up now, inadvertently, you were born into slavery. It doesn't matter what color you are. If you're allowing governments to walk all over you and tell you how to live your life, I know there's a lot of terrible people in this world, and there's a lot of things that you know shouldn't go on, and there is justice that needs to be dealt out. But you better be really sure before you pass a law that this law ain't going to come back and bite you, you know, where you don't want it to. Yeah, it's a fact. You keep calling the police on your neighbor.
If you
want to
be free, then don't run and hide.
Yep, that's it. Got to stand up one of these days. Otherwise, the beast, the same beast that you're fighting against, going to eat you alive while you're feeding it. You see what I mean? So, you know, with that said, Barry, you got any last words of wisdom, brother?
Well, where to start, eh? Great words, Patty, and always a pleasure listening to you talk. You really kind of nail it on the head. But to me, unless we see a change in morals in society, and to me that is the root of all problems, then we're continuing down the path we're going. I think the human heart has been corrupted and destroyed, and that if we don't get back to basic morals in our lives, treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated, maybe the Ten Commandments ain't such a bad thing altogether. Treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated. And if we live by those rules, we would see changes. But unfortunately, it's a me, greed, driven society. everything that we've been taught since we were a child, since the day we came into this world, is a lie. And until you can see past that and understand that what we're doing, like you said, is contributing to the system that is destroying us, we'll continue down this road. But to me, it really gets down to the human heart. What is going on inside the heart of men that we allow these things to go on in our society unabated and not speak against it? To me, the most important thing I think we can do right now is just doing what we're doing. And there is people that are listening, and we are resonating with people. And it's really time to take a look in the mirror and ask yourself, what is coming for our children? And is this what we want? Because if we don't stop it, it's not a very, very nice future coming, period. And we do have the power to stop it, but we gotta get our poop together. And again, I come back to the most important thing is we have to get to a society that's based on morals, and that's been taken out of society incrementally in so many different ways, especially in the last 30, 40 years where I've seen unbelievable changes in society. Being an older fellow, I remember what it was like when I was a child, how much respect we had for our elders, how society functioned back then and how it's functioning now. And we are going down a very, very, very dark path. But we have our changes. Period.
Well, like, I can't disagree with you. The best time to utilize common sense is before every tragedy. Am I wrong? I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Common sense doesn't exist anymore, and we need to bring it back.
Well, it exists in this round table, and a lot of the folks listening in, you know, I can't say I'm perfection because I've done a lot of stupid. I blacked my own eye with a Super Bowl, man. I shouldn't have threw it at the curb. And I learned it. I learned a life lesson. So sometimes we do have to learn things the hard way. But I'm going to play us out of here with a few funny things. Some serious things as well. But, you know, hey, sometimes you got to be a little lighthearted in the world that we live in. But we also really got to take it serious because we seriously got to get some common sense back. You know, go out there and watch YouTube for a while. See some of the things people do. Actually, get on Facebook and just read some of the ways that people treat one another. Listen to what they're arguing about. Listen to what the government's arguing about. Heck, for that matter, while you're listening to the mainstream media, fact check them and look at what the government's saying and fact check them and see what's really going on out there. But always know this. Unless you get involved, unless you personally are willing to have the courage to stand up against somebody who does want to stomp your head in because you're not wanting to comply, hey, the world you leave behind might not be the one you want your kids to have to contend with. That's all I'm saying. Folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope you enjoyed this show today. I hope you had some fun, and I hope you learned a few things. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Gary. He's not here no more, but thank you, Barry. And thank everybody listening in on People for People and all the other affiliated networks and all the chat rooms and all that stuff. Look, this is how we do this thing. We're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep pointing it out. We're going to do it in the most creative fashion that we can, and we're going to try to make the world better one positive pebble at a time. And we ain't gonna quit until it's all over. Until there ain't no more hope left to give. That's it. So, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Knights of the Round Table.
Man, that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh.
One hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Apple, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Apple, good afternoon.
How are you?
Fine, sir.
What are you people drinking?
This is Freshio. Freshio is back.
Yes, sir. Freshio is back.
That's nice. Mark Angel, I heard you just won the YouTube Gold Award. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Wow, you people are really trying, you know.
Thank you, sir. It's God, though. It's God that is doing everything for us, sir.
Yes, sir. It's God.
God? Which God?
Our God.
Your God. Where is your God?
Our God is in heaven.
Can you see your God?
No.
Can you touch your God?
No.
Then there is no God. Science has proven it, that anything you cannot see or touch does not exist. So, you don't have a God.
But sir,
are you a graduate? I am a professor.
Professor, excuse me. How do you know there is no God?
Common sense. I use my sense.
Where is your sense?
My sense is up here.
Can you see your sense?
No.
Can you touch your sense?
No.
That means there is no sense.
Hmm?
Yes. Because according to sense, anything you cannot see or touch does not exist. So, you don't have sense.
Emanuela.
See you next Friday.
Wait, wait, wait. Fresh drinking your God is back.
That's an advert.
That's not good job. That God's that, you know. Leave it. I love to pay my school fees.
Problem, boo.
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how do you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king. Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony. Be quiet! But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that our quiet dancing able. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Ho, ho, ho! To seize the turbo! To seize the turbo and the knights of the round table.